This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Greg Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr, and suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Great pick. All right, and welcome to PFW in Progress Special Draft Edition. This is Fred Kirsch. What's all that noise?
I think it's you.
That was my ID that hit my mic.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, we're here.
Sorry, my first time on Patriots.com radio.
It's a great draft day here at Gillette Stadium. We're overlooking the field. They're getting ready for the Revs opening day tomorrow. But it's Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Fred Kirsch with you until 6 o'clock. That's right, 6 o'clock. Talking about everything that's happened so far in the draft. The Patriots are, what, three picks away? Dallas is on the clock.
Now, Dallas just selected Bobby Carpenter out of Ohio State.
BFW's pick.
An excellent selection for the Cowboys, who are probably now the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
So, at least we can't be considered totally off the map here, because no. Almost every guy that we thought the Patriots would be interested in is gone.
No, right. Another reason is we loved Bobby Carpenter from day one. We're told he'd be a reach at 21, and he went with the 18th
That's
pick
right.
in the draft.
That's right. That was PFW's selection from the start. Right from the time that Tom and Andy got back from the combine, they were talking about Bobby Carpenter, Fred. They were telling us, you know, they were in my office with you, and Bobby Carpenter. People thought he might not even be gone in the first round, going in the first round, and here he is gone before the Patriots can even
take. That's an excellent selection.
I think it's a very good selection.
To a team, by the way, that's running the same system
right.
that they do.
They go outside last year. This guy can play inside or outside for them, make plays, or maybe replace, what's his name, Fred's favorite player, Matt Nguyen. I think it's a tremendous selection for the Cowboys. Solidified that defense for years to come.
I think he would have been a good pick here, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So Ty Hill would have been, too. But he's gone as well.
So there's two picks before the Patriots. Who are the Patriots going to take right now, guys?
D'Angelo Williams, running back.
I think maybe they are going to look running back, especially if Manny Lawson comes off the board somewhere.
I think you got to wonder about Manny Lawson right here at San Diego, another 3-4
right.
defensive team looking for the same kinds of tweeners that the Patriots would be. But if who's the pick if Lawson and Williams is there?
Chad Jackson, guys. Wide receiver.
No. Out of Lawson and Williams. You didn't listen to my question.
D'Angelo Williams.
That's why you don't get any gigs other than Patriots.com radio.
I'm sorry. Should I drop my mic in my lap?
You don't listen.
D'Angelo Williams is the best value at 21 of any player left on the board.
I don't love Manny Lawson.
I don't either.
Don't love him at all.
But that's why I'm asking the question.
I have a question, too. Can somebody look at the blog and the technical side of things? I may have broken the blog again.
What happened?
I don't know. It was a blank page and... I don't know.
Do you want to look at it on the page, on the homepage, or
right
on,
now I got Hourglass, like my thing might be frozen, and I broke the blog.
All right, the blog I have here, the last thing.
Is it a Chad too high?
A Chad too high.
Okay, it's fixed.
252.
Well, just to tell our listeners what they're taught, we've been blogging all day.
Yes.
All right. Anything good on there? I know that Tom ripped Rip the Texans first thing.
Of course,
this morning.
There's plenty of good stuff on there.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. Except I can't find it on. Never mind. Just listen to us on the radio.
I ripped the Bills for Dante Whitner, and I ripped Miami for Jason Allen. In between, I applauded Arizona for Matt Leinart.
Well, and Denny Green applauded himself as well for about 10 minutes.
Did he really?
He thanked his children. He's blessed. He's blessed for Matt Leinart. Great year, great stadium, great roof, great field. Matt Leinart can drive over the hill a couple hours and be in L.A. Everything's perfect. Kurt Warner's perfect for a year. Everything's perfect in Phoenix.
So playoffs for the Cardinals?
Are they playing Phoenix anymore?
Some were predicting the Cardinals as a possible outside shot of the playoff berth last year. Was everybody a year too early? Are the Cardinals a playoff team in the NFC?
I would say no, because I don't think Kurt Warner's going to last the season. I think he's going to end up getting hurt, and then Leinart's going to have to come in.
Yeah, but now,
is Leinart ready?
Under that scenario, I mean, there can't be too many quarterbacks that would be more ready to play in the NFL than he is.
But
coming out of college, I'm saying. And you might have Warner for 5, 6, 7 games if he gets hurt.
Have to win the division, Paul. They're not going to get a wild card out of that division, so they'd have to win it. That means they'd have to take over the Seattle Seahawks. I think they would need Kurt Warner for a full season to do that.
Not saying that they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't understand your reasoning why they can't get a wild card. That's a weak division. They should have the wins over San Francisco.
Well, because Dallas, Washington, the Giants, Carolina, Atlanta,
but Paul's
Bay,
they beat up
Minnesota.
On each other,
exactly.
And they get losses.
Dallas, Washington, the Giants have to deal with the Eagles, and that's the toughest division in football in my mind. Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta also have three pretty good teams. They have a chance to have a bunch of 9-7, 10-6.
Well, let me ask you this.
I don't think Arizona's that good.
No, I know,
I'm not saying.
How many teams did the AFC East get in last year?
One.
How many teams did the NFC North get in?
One.
That's because both divisions stunk, and you only get one team in.
Yes, but that's the. You got to lower that. I can't hear anything. I just think your logic is a little bit flawed. I think the AFC East is a terrible division, yes, but they didn't have a second team that had a good record. That's why they didn't have I'm saying that Arizona might be the second good team in that division.
Yeah,
maybe.
But the Rams have a lot of talent, too.
But I don't think the Rams are that good. So I think that they beat the Rams twice and San Francisco twice, and they have a leg up on Washington and Dallas and the Giants, who have to play good teams twice.
I think the Rams are better than them.
Okay.
I think we're off to a solid start with a good argument in minute two.
All right. Well, that's not an argument. Why is that considered an argument?
Plenty to talk about here. We want to talk about the email address.
Tom was thinking I hate Paul.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
But I think we're both thinking
address.
We hate Andy.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
Sorry, Fred.
So that people can join in here.
Let us know who you think the Patriots are going to pick now that the Bobby Carpenter, a great pick by the Dallas Cowboys, is off the board.
Bobby Carpenter gone. Ty Hill gone. A couple names we've thrown out there of late. Guys that are still out there. A late surge by Richard Marshall bump back up the list. Obviously, a name we've thrown out earlier, Nick Mangold, was promoted by his spot in Ron Borges's in the Boston Globe's mock this morning at 21. D'Angelo Williams, obviously value. Chad Jackson or Santonio Holmes, both the best wide receivers in the draft, still on the board.
Lendale White, baby.
Lendale White, if he's not in rehab, is available in the draft. I don't know if he's at the Ford Clinic or not. I'm not sure.
There's a Lifetime movie about Lendale White waiting to be produced.
There's something going on there.
I want to hear who the Patriots fans want right now. Now that you
That's
know
right.
the 18 players that are off the board, who would you select if you were the Patriots?
Although due to the latency of the internet, sometimes those emails take a while to get here and.
Latency.
Well,
it's kind of like our blog.
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome. We also want to hear what people think about if they're watching both the NFL Network and ESPN. Which one they prefer so far?
Yeah, because we prefer the NFL Network.
So far.
Yeah.
And we also want to know what the heck you think the Houston Texans were doing by allowing Reggie Bush to not go with the number one pick, signing Mario Williams to, as Tom put it, a Richard Seymour-type guaranteed money when he hasn't done squat in the league.
Well, if you're looking at two early winners right now, I'd say it has to be New Orleans, and I'd say it has to be Arizona.
Arizona.
Yep.
And I would say the Rams, too, because I think they were all over Ty Hill, and they moved down four spots.
And they got him.
Picked up an extra draft pick and still got the same player.
I was very
disappointed. And Tom made that point before they even took Hill, that they traded down and still got the guy they probably would have taken it had they not made the trade. So
I think the Cleveland Browns made out
I was going to say Cleveland is
trade down a spot because you don't want the two guys. Allow the Ravens to give you a draft pick, get the guy they wanted, and you get an extra selection.
Going back to the Texans, though, I was shocked You know, I got to believe what Charlie Casserly says, it was just a football decision. There's got to be more to it than that. Because if it's just purely football, it's got to be Reggie Bush. So there's got to be something more to it than that.
The only thing I can possibly think of, Fred,
is the upside of Bush is
a belly button.
In the midst of all of this controversy that Reggie Bush is going through right now with the, you know, with the house and everything at USC. Now, if it's just that, if it's just the house, it's utterly ridiculous. You know, because obviously no NFL team would turn away from a player because he had some NCAA violation. But if there's something that we don't know yet, you know, as part of this controversy, like maybe there was some drugs involved or some really breaking of laws, something like that. Maybe something that we don't know about Reggie Bush as part of this whole scandal.
Have you heard anything?
No, not at all.
Well, then it's got to be just the Texans that know it because New Orleans took him second.
Right. Well, like Tom said, I mean, Tom ripped him right off the start when we got here today, and I think he's absolutely right. They said it was a football decision. The money would certainly indicate that the money they gave him would indicate that they're not lying. It was a football decision because Reggie Bush couldn't have gotten much more. I mean, there's a cap to the amount of money that any team could give the number one pick, and he approached that cap of guaranteed money at 26. Million?
Yeah,
something
over,
like that.
A little bit over 26.
Well, why is Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch on the NFL Network?
So you couldn't get any more than they got.
All right, Tom, Mr. All Football NFL Network. They're interviewing movie stars right now.
Well, that's because it wasn't during the Dallas pick, no. And by the way, we've been on the air 14 minutes, and Tom has called the Cowboys pick an outstanding pick four times.
Hey, that was the guy we liked the whole time.
I agree
San
with
San Diego's on the clock, and we've got a lot of emailers coming in with who they think the Patriots should take. Stan Matthews says D'Angelo Williams.
I agree.
David from Store says Lendale White.
No way. Stay away.
Let's see. Justin says he wants D'Angelo Williams. So we've got two.
Be a flashy pick. Be an impact kind of headlines pick.
I like D'Angelo Williams. And you know why I want them to take him?
Sully says Manny Lawson.
Yeah, Tom and Andy aren't sold on Manny Lawson.
No. No me gusta. I think he's a little bit overrated.
I would love to see them take a running back because for all the people that I've heard the last 2 weeks say, well, there's a lot of running backs available, but we know Belichick's not going to take a running back in the first round. That's why I want him to take a running back because I'm spiteful and I like when people are wrong.
And I'll throw out another name just because I thought they would have made a deal today for Dante Stallworth, which they haven't as of yet. And if no deal's in the work, then I think you can throw Santonio Holmes into the mix because it's a guy that Tressel said they were down there watching, they liked. And if they really don't think that there's any other good receivers in this draft and they can't make a deal for a veteran, maybe they go with Santonio Holmes.
Well,
good
Larry
record.
Says Manny Lawson.
And that would
Another Manny Lawson.
And that would fall into the same category as the running back, by the way, Tom, so I'd be fine with that, too, because they also say they won't take a wide receiver, even though we think that they were trying to trade up for Mark Clayton last year.
Right. But in my opinion, if they go by the best football player left on the board, that's D'Angelo Williams, hands down at this point.
I would agree with that.
Zach
injury concerns
Stanford,
with him.
Connecticut says the Patriots should trade down because if they do, they can still get a guy like Williams, Maroney, Mangold, or Cromartie.
Right, but they already have 11 draft picks. That's the thing I'm wondering. Would they trade down and acquire even more draft picks? Maybe if it was like for next year's picks, maybe I could see. But I'm thinking they're going to get rid of some of those draft picks, not acquire more. So.
I hope they don't trade down.
Tony Donato says trade down too. So,
What are you trading down for?
Just to get extra picks.
They're showing Santonio Holmes highlights, and the Chargers are on the clock. So
the only way I'd trade down is if I'm trading back up again later. You know, maybe I end up with a late first, and then I end up with another second. I agree with Tom. You're not going to make 11. Then you trade down. You're not going to make 13 picks or something. So maybe you trade down only to move back up in the second round.
Mike in Madison says that the best value pick right now would be Chad Jackson.
I disagree with that. I think Jackson's a little bit overrated.
I disagree with that.
I'm with Paul. I like Holmes better than Jackson. I like guys who perform on the football field, not at the combine.
Yeah, but you know.
Wait a minute. Chad Jackson performed.
Not as well as Holmes, though. I'm not saying I hate Chad Jackson.
Didn't Britt set a school record the year before last in yards per catch, and then last year had 88 receptions?
All I'm saying
he has numbers.
I liked Santonio Holmes better.
But let's just not say he's,
he had
it's
one
not
year,
like he's
he had one year
performed.
Of production,
no.
Did he not?
Who?
Jackson.
No, he set the school record in yards per catch.
But he had
early,
one big year.
And the next year had 88.
How many
up at the podium now is Paul Tagliabue.
Boo.
And he's announcing who San Diego's picking with the 19th overall pick.
Antonio Cromartie.
Antonio
Cromartie. Excellent pick.
You being serious?
No, I am. He can be a shutdown corner.
Well, they need help in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Backfield.
This guy's big. He locates the ball well. He's always around the football making big plays. I think that's an excellent pick for San Diego.
I'm not disputing that he's a good player. I never know if you're being serious.
Oh, no, I like that pick.
Okay.
Normally, you don't like anybody.
Our lads had him projected mid-second round.
Yeah, our lads is a joke.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Because, Fred, they're not a joke because their information is good, but they put out a publication, it gets outdated. That's my point. Like, people rise and fall, you know, a few weeks before the draft, so their rankings are a little bit outdated. Their information is good, though.
Paul,
what?
As a sophomore, Chad Jackson had 29 catches for 648 yards and 6 touchdowns, 22.3 average as a sophomore.
So he only had 29 catches, though.
Right, but he's a sophomore.
So we had 1 year of real production.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good sophomore year.
The only reason why I know that is because that's what it's been. I've seen that written about his profile a lot. Thing that scares some people is he really only did it for 1 year.
See, I don't have a problem with that as a sophomore.
I have to agree with Andy on one thing. This Cromartie, I think, is the last defensive back the Patriots should take at 21. We both like Richard Marshall, but I don't know if he's worthy of the 21st pick in the draft. I could have lived with Cromartie because I think his upside, he's got a lot of upside, and, you know, he's a great athlete.
I agree with
Tom's big on upside.
I agree with both of you guys.
Well, he
guys
likes
on
guy
that,
with, guys with talent.
Yeah.
Well, that's how he differs from you
now
and
he's
I.
Now he's covering his mic with his
upside,
hand.
Upside, of course, is phenomenal.
Have you done this before?
Can you
fall asleep already?
You can't hear me?
Well, you're very,
well, yeah, but
background.
We're in the same room as you. I'm not sure that everybody else.
You know
can
what, though? How about let's start a petition to get Bobby Bowden, that senile old idiot, fired? I mean, these guys are getting 10 guys in the first round of the draft. They're losing 4 games a
That's
year.
That's 4 in the first 19 picks, right?
Yeah.
To be fair, he doesn't do anything.
Oh, right. You are.
So you need to fire the assistants because they're the ones who actually are doing the coaching.
That is correct.
And also, to be fair, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen some Florida State games this year. Every one of them was like 12-10. You know, 10-9,
and
all four of those players were taken on defense, and one of those guys didn't play.
And right. And their quarterback thought he was God.
the other thing I noticed in this draft, the University of Miami's not getting the players they used to get. You're not seeing these Miami players getting 5-6 guys in the first round like they used to get.
How about the ACC in general?
Yeah.
Almost every one of these guys is an ACC player. It's amazing. They got like eight or nine picks.
I think Miami's a program a little bit on the decline right now.
Could be.
All right.
Defensive end for the Chiefs, they say, is the biggest need. Could that be Manny Lawson?
To play true defensive end at 240 pounds?
But
eight out of the 19 picks, ACC players.
Okay, good.
That is pretty
wild. You don't think that's impressive for one conference?
It could be just one of those flukes.
Well,
they might have none next year.
We're two,
I don't really,
sure.
You know.
We're 2 picks away from the Patriots. I predicted this would be the longest first round ever, and it's actually on pace to be the quickest.
Tom Casale strikes again.
He did say that. It's going to be the longest
Eric
one.
Eric from Pennsylvania is wondering, what do we think of Winston Justice for the Patriots pick?
We don't like him.
I don't like it. Whoa.
Anything else besides
I don't dislike him.
No, we don't like
him.
He's
going
to be
an okay pro. But what's the need there? Now, are you telling me that Brandon Gorman can't play, Matt Light's never going to return? Okay, maybe you need a tackle. I don't know. But if Matt Light comes back and Nick Kazier goes to the right side, you took 2 offensive linemen pretty high day one last year.
Right.
I mean, how often are you going to restock that offensive line? There's a lot of other needs. You know, I'm all for even the center pick, you know, Nick Mangold. Okay, maybe Dan Copen's done. I have no idea. Who knows?
That would make sense.
But
not only that, what if they have a reasonable amount of confidence that Copen can play this year? But long term, they have concerns.
And they probably won't
resign.
And
he's going to be a free agent.
Right.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, Russ Hochstein, maybe he plays center. Who plays linebacker? Who plays wide receiver?
Oh,
I think you have holes other places where
Andy,
you don't have a quality NFL player to put on the football.
I know, but you have the value at that pick.
He says that you're on edge,
Tom,
but
that's the key.
You're yelling at me.
That's that Bobby Carpenter pick.
What?
Talking to the mic.
I'm talking into the mic.
I can hear you, Fred.
I
can hear you.
No, the mic's right here. Do you see the mic? It's right here.
You have to swallow it.
Oh. Mike says, Jimmy Williams, cornerback from Virginia, isn't he supposed to be the top-rated cornerback?
I love him.
We love Jimmy Williams, but here's the problem with that, Fred.
Red flags.
The the Virginia Tech program right now is kind of like the old Miami program of the late 80s. They talk a lot. You've seen D'Angelo Hall talk. Frank Beamer actually had to put a gag order on Jimmy Williams last year, so I don't know how that's going to fit in well with what Bill Belichick likes his players to do with the media. So
the only thing I'll say is if Jimmy Williams comes in and is the number one corner and has six picks,
he can
play. I got no problem with it.
If they pick Jimmy Williams, I'll be very happy.
I like Jimmy Williams.
Unlike you, Tom, I like guys with talent, even if they talk.
I like him if they talk.
I like Jimmy Williams from a talent standpoint, and I think, going back to the whole thing, what they did in the field, this guy did as much, if not more, than anybody
big,
right. at
he's
that
big.
Point.
He's big. Tom thinks he can play safety, a versatile Belichick-type player, do all that flip-flopping and switching around they like to do back there.
The one thing we don't know is we don't get to interview the players
right.
like with these guys, so that's why it has to be his
right.
up here in the head. If he's set there and the Patriots don't mind that, they think everything checks out, be an excellent pick.
And all the stuff you just said about Cromartie, too, certainly applies to Jimmy Williams. He's 6'2". He's like the prototype.
Right.
I mean, if you could, carve a cornerback out of, stone, this is the kind of guy you come out with.
Although
size, speed, athleticism.
Although the name you might be hearing coming up right now is Jimmy Williams for the Kansas City Chiefs because they need secondary help, too.
Alex from Somerville thinks that the Patriots should pick D'Angelo Williams. But he has an interesting take on the Houston move. He says he thinks it's wise. The way he sees it, all things being equal, would you take LaDainian Tomlinson or Richard Seymour?
LaDainian
Tomlinson.
Tough call,
whichever way you make it. Okay. We saw what happened to the Pats' run defense when Seymour was missing in the middle of the year. San Diego missed the playoffs with a healthy LT having a great season.
I'd take LaDainian Tomlinson. I'm sorry.
And I would disagree that San Diego missed the playoffs with a healthy LaDainian Tomlinson having a great season. He wasn't healthy, and he really sputtered down the stretch when they were about
they
to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he was hurt.
Yeah.
He wasn't healthy.
I tend to think that Reggie Bush is closer to LaDainian Tomlinson than Mario Williams is to Richard Seymour.
Yeah, aren't they Bush to be even better?
They're saying the best back in 20 years, some people say.
Fred, it's like I told you when I came in here. I see Reggie Bush once every 20 years. I see Mario Williams once every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
It's that type of deal. And you don't pass up on Reggie Bush, period.
Yeah, but I think that the premise that the emailer brought up is a good one. I just don't think it necessarily translates to Mario Williams. I don't think he's that
right.
good.
Right.
And
right.
I'll say this. All of a sudden, Mario Williams became the first pick of the draft, the number one pick of the draft. I watch a lot of college football. I'm not pretending to be an expert. I vaguely knew of Mario Williams when the season ended, and he was the very first player taken in the draft. I would think that casual football fans would know who the number one pick in the draft ended up being. Not that you could predict it, but when that guy gets taken, you've heard of him.
Right.
You know who he is. I don't think casual football fans knew who Mario Williams was until the combine.
No, he definitely didn't have the star power. I mean, this year, at least up to a month ago, it was Leinart, it was Vince Young, it was Reggie Bush. It was those types of guys.
And a lot of people like to throw out the quarterbacks and the running backs taken with the first overall pick. And how 43 first-round quarterbacks taken in the last 20 years, only 3 have won the Super Bowl. Go and take a look at the number one overall pick for defensive linemen.
Right.
Tell me how that. Tell me how
Russell,
the Courtney Browns and
Russell
Andre
Maryland
Bruce's,
was the best one.
Andre Bruce, Courtney Brown.
Steve Entman.
Yeah, tell me how all those guys worked.
One Pro Bowl for Russell Maryland.
Did you see that chart today?
He was just a slightly above-average player. That's what he was.
So Houston,
we have a problem,
and I guess a lot of the fans are very upset,
and they have a right to be.
Like someone said, they were hoping for Vince Young, they would have settled for Reggie Bush, but then they end up with Mario Williams.
And the other thing, Fred, too, is I think you get Reggie Bush, and your offense is set now for the next few years. Now next offseason, you can start reshaping that defense. I mean, the Texans aren't going to turn into a 12-win team overnight. So now you solidify your offense. Plus, Dominic Davis has not played a full season since he's been at LSU.
Right.
He's always injured. And they're going to run a Broncos-style type running game. Can you imagine what Reggie Bush would do with the Broncos style of running behind that offensive line? I know the Texans' offensive line isn't as good, but that cutback kind of running, he'd have 2,000 yards for the Broncos. It's just a terrible decision.
And
terrible.
You also may have screwed up with a franchise quarterback. You decided David Carr's your guy. You gave him a lot of money, and now a potential franchise running back.
Took a lot of chances. Took a lot of chances.
You may have made two bad decisions. And
how much better would Bush have made everybody? I mean, not only does he give you a running game, but he makes your offensive line, which is probably average at best, makes that look a little bit better because you don't have to have huge holes and hold the blocks as long. He makes Andre Johnson, who we know has the talent.
Right.
He had a great year 2 years ago, makes him better. David Carr now has an option. You know, they're not just keying on him. Maybe they don't fall behind everybody.
All right.
We got
the,
a pick.
Chiefs have submitted their pick, and Tagliabue is
Jimmy Williams
going to the podium. Let's
or
go,
Chad
let's
Jackson.
Go to New York
I'm
right
go
now.
With Manny Lawson.
20th choice in the 2006 NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs select Tom Bahaly, defensive end from Penn State.
Well, that's okay. Tom Bahaly, defensive end from Penn State.
Bit of a surprise. I had him there in one of my first mock drafts, but then I, well, no, I'm my point I was trying to make is he's kind of fell off since then, and I haven't had him in the first round in my last two mock drafts, so a little bit high, I think, for Tom Bahaly.
Yeah, I would agree. Great story, though.
I was going to say he might be the best person taken in the first round, based on what I've seen of him.
Here we go. Jimmy Williams, D'Angelo Williams, Lindale White, Manny Lawson, they're all there. Nick Mangold, Santonio Holmes,
Chad Jackson.
So the Patriots on the clock, people.
I am against Chad Jackson, if that's the pick.
We all thought that they were going to have a good chance to get a very, very good player, and you just guys just rattled off about four or five guys that I think that Patriots fans, most Patriots fans, would be happy with.
Mm-hmm. The only guy I don't like is Lindale White. Any other pick, I think, is potentially...
I don't think there's any chance that they take Lindale.
I don't
you
either.
You have three very good running backs. You have two very good wide receivers. You have a couple of tweener-type linebackers. You have a lot of different things to choose from, and you have the offensive
what
lineman.
What would be
if you
a
really
surprise
think,
pick here? Would Mangold
I think Mangold
pick?
Would be a surprise.
That would be a surprise, yes.
Even though he was in a mock draft today in the Boston Globe, I would still consider that a surprise.
Yes.
Leonard Pope would be a surprise.
How about D'Amico Ryans?
Leonard Pope would be the biggest surprise. Andy just nailed that one.
Yeah.
Would D'Amico Ryans be a surprise?
I think he can play.
Mild surprise.
We like D'Amico.
I like him.
We like D'Amico Ryans, but you guys definitely inside with him, huh?
No, it's more the size we were talking about. Like, the size thing is from you guys, because whenever I mention Lofa Tatupu, you say he can't play in New England because of his size. So I would think of the same thing of a D'Amico Ryans.
So
he's
you know,
better in a 4-3.
We didn't say that. Somebody else said
that. I'm just
we
saying...
We just agree with that somebody else because he kind of
But you're
the
ones that relayed it to me. So I'm going with what you guys have told me.
I think D'Amico Ryans is a little undersized.
Yeah, better suited for the Colts.
But I fall back on the Jonathan Vilma thing. If Bill thinks he's good enough, then he's good enough. You know what I mean? He will go out there and put him in a position to make plays. He wanted Jonathan Vilma.
Look, I've been criticizing people for saying, don't ever say the Patriots will or won't do anything.
Right,
so
exactly.
I'm not going to say that somebody is too small to play.
But if they,
I just don't think he has the ideal, you know, talking about Tatupu now, the ideal size to play inside.
But, Paul, interesting thing here now is if they did trade down, it could be with the Colts. Because the running backs are on the board. Maybe the Colts want to move up and get one of those guys. Maybe San Fran's thinking running back. You never know.
Yeah, but do you think the Patriots would
Carolina?
Do business with Bill Polian?
Well, Carolina
well,
definitely
if it's good business.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
Carolina definitely thinking running back.
I'm thinking
you
the
picks. You've got to figure Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, and the Giants wouldn't be.
Right.
But if you are a team looking running back, do you say, well, there's three available. I like all three. Or, you know, depending on how they
say
rate
if
him.
They like one better.
Right.
Right,
what are the chances that right now Bill Belichick says I want to take a running back and I have the choice of any of these three? I don't think that he even thinks two of them probably are even possibilities.
Right.
He probably has no use for two of them.
Do
you know what I mean?
Right.
Probably.
The chances of him liking all of
them. This all comes down to whether or not he thinks Manny Lawson fits into his system. If he does, he'll be the pick. If not, they go receiver probably, running back in that area. Or, like I said, maybe the curveball. Maybe it's Nick Mangold, or maybe it's someone we haven't mentioned.
Or they trade down.
I'm rooting for Lawson or Williams because that's guys that we've been talking
okay.
about all along.
If there was an edict on the team,
or Richard
just throwing
Marshall.
This out there, if one of the goals this year was to get faster on defense, who should they pick right now? If that's your goal, we need to get faster
Lawson.
On defense.
I mean, Lawson's a 4-4, 4-5, 40 guy playing a position that you don't see that kind of speed.
Right.
I mean, that's a. I mean,
okay.
You're looking pure
that's
speed.
That's the pick, fellas.
And we like Richard Marshall, but
what happened to Ty Hill?
Still too high.
Well, he was not available. He would have been.
Fred found out there was an E.
but in Fred,
Ty Hill was the fastest human at the draft.
Fred,
the
in your defense,
yes.
I did state every time I mentioned Ty Hill that they would have to trade up to get him.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't think he'd be
no
there
question.
At 21.
No
and
question.
And I said they'd find a way, and they didn't.
And
right.
We all speculated when that Todd McShay from ESPN rumor came out that the Patriots were interested in trading up. We all speculated that Ty Hill could be a very, very possible target if they were looking to trade up.
So I'm saying Manny Lawson.
Halfway there. 7 and 7.50.
You're saying Manny Lawson.
I'm saying
right?
Manny Lawson.
I'm off your ship.
I'm D'Angelo Williams.
I'm going with Andy. I'm going with D. Williams.
Okay.
Bill shocks him the other way this year. He takes a best, guard last year, a
he's
running
the best
back
player.
This year.
He's the best player on the board. The best
value.
Player on the board.
I'm going to be very psyched if it's D'Angelo.
We're big on value around here, Fred. Value.
Although,
good value.
We talk about production. There's, what is there, three, four guys in the history of...
6,000-yard
yeah.
rushing.
Yeah, we're talking
for
Tony, Dorsett, Ron Dane, Ricky Williams. Is there one more?
Is Herschel? No. He's,
those three guys that I can think of off the top of my head. There might be one more.
There's one more, I
Nobody
think.
Nobody else in the history of college football has run for more yards than D'Angelo Williams, except for those
oh,
two.
Oh, it's Sanders. Barry Sanders,
Barry Sanders is the fourth one?
I think so.
Okay. Well... I mean, we're talking
and the impressive
one of the
thing
five
is,
most productive guys
right,
in the history
the
of college football.
The impressive thing is he put up almost 2,000 yards playing with a third-string walk-on quarterback
yeah, and when
year.
We talk about all these marquee programs like Florida State getting all these guys, Ohio State getting all these guys, Memphis was playing with less talent than their opponent
right.
in almost every game. They're just an average
he carried
conference
that team
USA program. He's the focal point of the offense. The other team has to stop. And as Tom said, third-string quarterback playing for Memphis all year or for part of the year. And he still was able to put up 1,900-plus yards and have
that's
that kind of production.
Know, that's impressive.
I think that, you know, if he had done this, you know, like, you know, we talk about Lendale White and what he did, 57 touchdowns during his career. Well, how many games did Lendale White play against a team that was even close to as good
as
USC?
How many times did Reggie Bush run the ball down with a two and they put in Lendale White to run 2 yards? So that stat's a little misleading, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, get to about 6 minutes.
Well,
the
problem is
the
here, Fred, the problem is here is if they are going to take a running back, they have to call Corey Dillon first and check it out with them.
Oh, that's right.
Oh!
Did you hear that? That one?
What? No.
Was that GM Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Russ Landy said that, you know, well, they'll do it the right way. They'll, if they're going to take a running back, they'll call Corey Dillon first and run it by him.
Why would they do that?
Exactly.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
It's apparently GM Jr. does not know how this team is run.
Or any other team.
So there's no chance that the Patriots take a wide receiver? With
no, I don't know.
Andy's been all over Chad Jackson.
And that's
no
chance.
I like Santonio
right. Holmes. We think there's a definite. You're talking about the best receiver in the draft. Now, where you rate him, you know, the whole horizontal, vertical,
right.
blah,
right.
blah,
right.
blah. But
exactly.
You're talking about the best receiver at a need.
Andy's right. The Patriots have their pick of the best receiver in the draft. And if they think one of them's worth this selection, they'll take them.
At one of your top needs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not reaching to take the fifth best wide receiver because you need a number two receiver. You're taking the best. There was nothing better available. The best receiver out there.
Okay. Paul, you agree with that?
I agree with the philosophy. Yeah,
of course,
I just don't like Chad Jackson as much
five
as
five minutes.
If I find out Dante Stallworth on a plane to New England, okay, I change my tune.
Right, and I do think there's a very good possibility of one of those veteran wide receivers being a Patriot.
I do too.
Well,
I don't think Javon. Have we heard anything new on Javon Walker today?
Pro Football Talk was here this morning.
Pro Football Talk was reporting that he was supposed to go to Denver today and then New England, and he canceled all his trips. That he's tired of traveling.
Well,
he was in Denver yesterday.
He was in Denver. Okay, so the places he was supposed to go, maybe it was Miami and New England.
But doesn't that deal have to go down
today?
He went
back home, and he's tired of traveling.
I don't think it necessarily has to. I think ideally in a perfect world.
Because you would be trading for draft picks,
right?
Well, maybe, unless you're trading next year's draft picks.
You could definitely trade future draft picks, but you would like to know if you're getting a guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, doesn't that change your line of
thinking? For example, this decision right here, the two best wide receivers are available. Am I getting Dante Stallworth or am I not?
Right, and I'll tell you right now what I wrote in our blog there about the Packers. I think that is you want to run as far away from that team as you possibly can. I don't know what Brett Favre is thinking about coming back to that team. That's why I didn't like the A.J. Hawk pick. Like A.J. Hawk, don't think you should take him at number five because you got about 30,000 holes to fill on your team. I would have traded down if I was the Packers and gotten more picks if I could. Because I'm sure teams wanted to get up there for Vernon Davis. I'm sure they wanted to get up there for Vernon Davis, and they could have traded down.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think a lot of teams wanted Vernon Davis that high?
When Bill Belichick specifically mentions Vernon Davis by name twice, that means Vernon Davis is good. Because the only other guy he mentioned by name to us was Reggie Bush. Those are the two people he mentioned to
us.
Okay. Tight end, that high.
Well, he went the next pick, Fred.
I know.
He went sixth. I mean, clearly it was a guy that Bill knew.
But there's a guy, when the football season ended, was nowhere near that area. And then...
Oh, I don't know about that.
Wow.
I think he moved up about 7 spots from 10 or 11 or 12 in there to the middle of the top 10.
And when I made the comment about Mario Williams, I didn't necessarily mean that he's not a good player. I just meant that I would think that if you're going to be the number one overall pick, I think that casual football fans would know who the number one overall pick is.
I mean, Fred, how many people knew Richard Seymour?
It's a good point.
And he ended up being a great player. But everybody wanted David Terrell because they knew
him. But at number six, not the top overall player.
That's where Vernon Davis went, number six in the draft.
Exactly.
And Fred's saying the guy
exactly.
was a nobody.
But
well, Richard Seymour was a nobody until he became the best defensive lineman in the NFL.
Tend to have a higher value.
Yeah,
tight ends.
You're right, Fred. My only point
yeah.
was that he was probably going to go six, and that I know teams behind there liked him and probably were offering Green Bay some trades, and I just think – I don't think A.J. Hawk's going to come in and do much for Green Bay because they need a lot of help.
And to follow up on Andy and Tom's point about Bill Belichick mentioning Vernon Davis at the Combine, he obviously knew it was a player that the Patriots were going to have
never
no
get,
chance
right.
whatsoever of taking. Because he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't put himself out there as being so
right.
pro Vernon Davis if he thought there was even a remote chance that he would be around.
Will you be disappointed if the Patriots move out of this spot? There's about 2 minutes left.
I'll wait to see what the package
the
is they acquire.
The pick is ready because the clock stopped running.
Well, the clock has stopped at about 2 minutes.
Here's usually when the logo
trade,
changes.
Because
every time it seems we're on the air, the Patriots end up trading.
So the Patriots have made something a selection or something has happened. We don't
it's
know
Chad
yet.
It's Chad Jackson.
They're looking at Chad Jackson. Andy
oh
could have this one. I would just like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but usually the
one guy's, of those guys
on the phone
that
when he gets picked.
They're not going to take a wide receiver in the first round. That's what I would like that.
It's Chad Jackson. They selected Chad Jackson.
That was the fans' pick, it said.
Oh.
Well, it'd
There's
be interesting.
Holmes.
You know,
it's not him.
It's Antonio Holmes. Where is he?
You know, people
he's
forget
by a filing cabinet.
Maybe he's in Belichick's office.
He runs up to do the conference
you know,
call.
The current state of the Patriots wide receivers, they definitely have a need. P.K. Sam, they let go. They didn't resign.
There you
him.
Go. Manny Lawson, Chad Jackson, Santonio Holmes.
Here it is.
That's a big, huge question.
And so, therefore,
with the 21st choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Lawrence Maroney.
Wow.
Maroney!
Wow.
And a phenomenal draft pick.
See, I don't
a great
love it.
Pick.
I got it.
I don't love it. I think D'Angelo Williams is far
wow.
better.
There's
okay.
no way they'll take a running back in the first round. Bill Belichick doesn't do that.
That's right.
Wow.
And that means we were
Paul's
right about Corey Dillon, too.
Wow. Now, that's not the fact that they took a running back, but Maroney over Williams.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's a little bit bigger.
Definitely.
He's, you know, he's got that straight line
all right,
speed.
Let's get your draft books out, because I know our listeners want to hear the
well,
take
Andy's got the,
on Maroney.
Andy's got the Bible.
I got you.
Andy's got the Bible.
Well, I can just give it to you if you want.
Well, you know, we're going to get a real scouting report. No offense.
Whoa.
Well,
whoa.
I love Maroney. I've loved him for a long time. He's got great vision in the hole. He's got game-breaking speed, catches the ball better than some think. He's bigger than some think.
He's a
perfect
back.
Fit.
Well, that's the one worry that Tom always talks about. You worry that maybe he is, you
yeah,
know, was
a little
part
bit
of
a
great,
system back.
Great running system at Minnesota who churned out Marion Barber.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right, Fred, you want me to read this?
The other
let's
they
let's
got Russell
about
there
Lawrence
now.
Maroney.
Lawrence Maroney. This is according to Pro Football Weekly, the one we read every year, Nolan Naraki. 5'11 and 7'8, 217, 4'4'40. He's obviously a junior. Notes, lettered in basketball, baseball, blah, blah, blah. I'll skip that, go right to the positives, I guess. Has a frame to carry 225 pounds and get bigger. Played in some big games in 05, Purdue, Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. Has top-end speed to pull away from the pack once he sees a crease and has big play capability. Has nice vision and is patient reading blocks. Shows powerful legs and hips to burst into overdrive. Can bounce off tacklers and wiggle and weave through traffic. Has breakaway speed to contribute as a kickoff returner.
Sounds like what I just said.
Negatives. Is slow. Well, sorry, we're going to get some other sources. Is slow to get started. Well, you spent the last 10-minute build-up telling me D'Angelo Williams was the pick and the best available running back.
I think he was.
Is slow to get started and can be tracked down. This is a negative. Slow to get started and can be tracked down and stretched to the sideline. Is not overly creative to make defenders miss if seam is not there to hit. Rutro, has he seen this offensive line? we'll run too upright and leave body open to hits. Eating habits were poor in college and struggled to gain weight. Not a pile driver or a powerful runner who is going to break a lot of tackles inside the box. Limited use in pass protection. That's not good for
well,
a rookie
I'll tell
back
you, I'll tell you
to
what,
get on the field.
If his highlights aren't any better than the ones they're showing on the NFL Network, they just got a 6-round draft pick.
Limited use in pass protection. That's worrisome because that's a Bill Belichick. If you want to get on the field, the first thing you do as a running back is protect the franchise Tom Brady. So if that's a problem, that's a problem. Has split carries throughout his career and durability needs to be examined. Not asked to block much. Again, that's a problem. So the summary, despite continuing the split carries with Gary Russell as a junior, Maroney showed he could carry it 25 times a game and become a number one back in the NFL. Has big play potential to break a game wide open. Should be helped vastly by an NFL strength and nutrition program. best fit will come in zone blocking scheme used by a team like the Broncos or Falcons.
Falcons, yeah.
Patriots, to some degree, are a zone blocking team. So, you know, that they would be in that category. A first-round talent is the bottom line.
Okay, well, but
this just goes to show that the Corey Dillon days are coming to an end here, and everybody knows it. And that's why I think it's a good pick. I do like D'Angelo Williams a little bit better, but I still think Maroney is a phenomenal back. I thought he'd go to the Colts, and if he did, I didn't think they'd miss a beat with you know,
I would agree.
The edge. So bringing him in, bringing a home run hitter in that backfield. The Patriots haven't had a home run hitter in the backfield since Paul went.
Curtis Martin.
No,
Curtis
he is a home run hitter. Says he takes a little while to get going, but once he's in, he's gone.
Oh, he's got speed, Fred.
Oh, he's a home run hitter, no doubt.
Okay, because
he's got good power to all
I'm
fields.
I'm looking at him, and
he doesn't look as fast as he is.
He lumbers a little bit. He's like an Antoine Smith.
He lumbers at 4.4.
Oh, Antoine Smith.
You were just praising the fastest human who's 0.06 of a second faster than him.
Yeah, I mean, Antoine Smith is twice the size of this
football
kid. This kid's 217 pounds.
Oh, football
pounds.
Feed, sorry.
Antoine Smith's like 230, right?
But this guy can, right, and has the frame
guy.
To build up if he wants to.
I thought it was strange the nutrition part of that. He had poor eating habits in college, but struggled to gain weight. I'm wondering, you know.
They feel he can be bigger.
Yeah, no, I was thinking poor eating habits in college meant that he was a junk food
guy
or whatever, you know.
You know what? I think I remember seeing something about him, though, being a junk food guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some guys that eat junk food and it doesn't allow them to build muscle and put on positive weight. They don't just get fat. They have the metabolism to burn it, but they never get enough protein and all the crap to actually build muscle.
Snack pack, you're the coolest.
Let's get a little reaction.
We have any? Let's bring it.
Oh, yeah. We got emails already.
And the mic is 5 inches to your right.
David DiNuzio says he's thrilled with the selection of Maroney.
Okay.
So there's one.
Is that really all it said?
Yeah,
I'm thrilled with the selection.
He's thrilled.
And terribly excited.
Manny Lawson just went
Dwayne says this is exactly what the Pats needed. I've seen Lawrence Maroney as the best fit for the Pats for a while. He has the speed and the pass-catching ability we need.
I remember when he said that.
He thinks it's a great pick. Justin Patterson from Alaska.
Hey! Darren College fan.
I'd like Williams, but I'm happy with it, is what he says.
I don't know what that. What is that?
He likes D'Angelo Williams better, but he's happy with Maroney.
I would agree with that.
That's just
I've wanted a running back. If they think this guy's the best running back, then I'm fine with it. I personally thought Williams was the better player.
Yeah.
But if this guy comes in and can do what he's projected to do, I'll be very happy because I think they need a game breaker.
Right.
Kind of.
It's been
this
over
guy's
a
legitimate. Even if Dylan's healthy and fine, this guy's a legitimate backup. He's not, oh, we got to slide this guy, change a couple
you
things. He's a legitimate backup.
That's a great point that Andy just made because at the very worst, you now have a legitimate NFL-caliber backup.
Pat.
You don't have a couple of contingency plans that you could do in case something happens to Corey
Dillon. And if the pass protection thing is his biggest weakness, let's say, and Dillon is healthy, well, he's working on his pass protection all rookie year to make sure he's ready at whatever point you pass it to him from Dillon.
Is it really a weakness, or is it just that he didn't do it a lot?
They didn't ask him to do it, and I'm guessing they didn't ask him to do it because he didn't do a very good job at it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just reading into this.
I mean,
but
Tom might know more about the Gophers' offense than we do. But
they run the ball all the time.
I know they have a reputation for being a system that, like the Broncos and the pros, they have a reputation in Minnesota of churning out good running backs.
The funny thing is they had Barber there, and he was projected to be a pretty good NFL back. Then they had Maroney behind him, who was expected to go higher. Now the kid Russell that they got there now is expected to be the best of them all. So maybe they just have good running backs. I
thought there was a guy before Barber that also was pretty productive, but maybe not. Maybe I was just thinking of Russell as the third guy.
All right,
Gary Russell?
In about 5 minutes, supposedly Bill Belichick will be up at the podium, and when he does get there, we'll go to him live. We'll have him on the radio live, so no reason to switch over. We'll also have the live feed separate, so if you have two computers going, you can have us both going. But we will switch to Bill Belichick live at the podium in about 5 minutes. That's probably 10, 15 minutes.
We're going to want to go out and
cover that.
Cover that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Here's
Chris,
the first round pick.
Chris in Charlotte, North Carolina, says, Maroney reminds me a lot of Deshaun Foster with the Panthers. I hope he doesn't get injured all the time like Foster.
I would take Deshaun Foster, by the way. I think he's a pretty good player.
As your first-round pick?
I don't like him as a first-round pick.
No. I'm just saying I think he's a pretty good player.
Okay. As your first-round pick?
Yes. I think he's a good player. I think if he was healthy, he'd be a great player. That's the one knock is what the emailer said. He has a couple of major
injuries. If Lawrence Maroney turns into Deshaun Foster, bust.
No, I disagree. I think
See,
if,
that's what
I
I'm
think
trying
if
to
Deshaun,
get at.
I think if Deshaun
You're
Foster...
trying to get us to fight?
But I said it three times. I didn't think I had to keep saying it. I think if Deshaun Foster was healthy all the time, he'd be a very, very productive back. I think what limits his production is he's had two major injuries in his career. I can't predict if a guy's going to get hurt.
But Andy's saying...
Andy doesn't like Deshaun Foster.
Okay.
Is there something unclear about this? He is
right.
on one side.
Take a running
on
back in the first round. I want him to be a 1,000-yard consistent rusher.
And I think he would be if he was healthy. That's all we disagree on.
And I'm blogging. That's why I'm not talking.
So, Tom, what are you going to put up on the blog? What are you saying?
He loves
this
pick.
It's a very good pick because I think Corey Dillon's on the downside. Now, at the very least, you got, like Andy said, you got a backup. You got a guy who can come in a year or so and take over the running back position.
But don't you want him to come in this year?
Yeah, he can.
Well, I don't think that. See, that's one thing I think that people get lost on. I think that sometimes when you draft a guy, you need to have an immediate impact. And I'm fine if he is Corey Dillon's caddy for a year. And then turns out to be the back of the future, the true back of the future.
But plus, this helps Dillon.
They're a pretty good team.
He doesn't have to have 30 carries a game now.
Right.
And the Patriots are a pretty good team. I don't think they need to have a major impact from, you know, all their top draft picks. I think they can get by with...
Sounded to me like you guys are saying they had all these holes.
They still do.
Do you not think they have
running
any holes?
Running back was one of them.
I do.
So why do you yell at us for saying they had holes?
Didn't we include running back with one of their major needs?
I want a couple guys, you know, first-round guy, the second-round guy, to make it
Listen,
a
Listen, all teams have holes, Fred, okay? But not all teams have the places that aren't holes as solid as the Patriots do. Some teams have holes at quarterback, for example.
Right.
Okay? Patriots don't. They need an outside linebacker or an inside linebacker if you want to move Vrabel. But they have three other pretty good linebackers, right? Not all teams are in that situation, so they need to definitely get a quick impact. I think the Patriots, let's just say they don't get another wide receiver. Do you think the offense is just going to stink because they have Lishay Caldwell, Troy Brown, and Deion Branch as the top three receivers?
What I consider a hole is if we started right today, the guy at that position isn't really the guy I want to be there.
Well, I think there's going to be probably one or two guys in positions that you're going to feel that way about.
So, Fred, you draft a linebacker, and he starts, and he's okay for a couple of years. You pass on Lawrence Maroney, and next year he's a 1,500-yard back in the Pro Bowl. You screwed up.
But
Andy's having a good couple of minutes because he's saying a lot of things I agree
That's
with.
That's right.
But it means I'm an idiot right
I
now.
I still think they need to address that number two receiver.
And yes,
now,
they do.
Now,
and
now,
you've got 10 more picks coming.
They do.
Now,
maybe they decided that middle pack of 5 to 8 receivers in the second, third, fourth round is just as good as Chad Jackson.
And maybe they've already signed a deal with one of these guys that we don't even know.
I can say I told you so to all you guys, right?
When?
No,
you
told me they were going to do something after June 1st when guys get released.
Unless that happens,
you'll be wrong.
I said nothing to do with June 1st. I said nothing.
Tom, stop
blogging
for a second.
Defend
us.
I wasn't even listening.
I said.
You're just making it up.
It had nothing to do with June 1st. I said there will be guys available that we weren't considering. And
at the time, all of these guys were already under consideration, so that's wrong. All of these guys were already on the trading block. You said guys that we didn't know about.
You don't.
Ashley Lalee, Dante Stallworth, Javon Walker, those guys have been on the block for a while.
Well, there will still be other guys, too. Trust me.
Okay.
So you're wrong
so you're
if Dante
wrong.
Stallworth is the answer.
Why?
Because that's not one of the guys you were talking about. You said guys that we don't know about.
Fred, importantly, is somebody going to come tell me if Manny Lawson,
Bill
Lawrence
Belichick?
Maroney does a conference call or Bill Belichick comes to the podium? How are we going to be aware of this?
I don't know.
I'll go check.
You're going to stop by EEI on your way? Analyze the pick? All right, Fred, reaction. Boom. Keep going. Web radio, patriots.com. Web radio, patriots.com.
So Maroney supposedly has 4.45 speed. Is that what you have?
I had 4.4 speed.
That's
so
pretty good.
Oh, and you just said he was slow.
No, it's that's pretty good. But what I heard is he kind of, you know, was slow. So he's not quick, but he's fast.
Right. He has good straightaway, breakaway speed. Seems to be that takes a little while to get going.
Okay. One report says the good starting running back who flashes ability to be very good, but does not maintain that level of production every game.
Let's go to Mel Kiper's book and see what if he differs. He has 4.55. For his 40.
Okay.
And his bottom line basically has a chance to be a very good feature back in the NFL, a one-cut type runner. I really like the way he decisively burst to daylight, showing very good body
Adidas.
Length.
Proud part.
Okay. And apparently he's linked to Adidas. he'll also get the job done as a blocker, which is critical at the pro level, which flies in the face 100% of everything we read in the other scouting report, which tells us how valuable these scouting reports are.
We like that GM Junior scouting report?
No.
We don't like them?
No.
Because they're saying that he's not an elusive make-you-miss runner. He has a quick burst through the hole but lacks the explosiveness through the hole and does not have the elite speed to run away from defenses. He is not a consistently productive pass blocker because
right.
he does not always step up and pick up the blitzers aggressively.
That seems to be. Now we have two out of three sources saying that his pass protection is questionable at best. And that's a problem. I mean, that's going to keep him from getting on the football field if that's the case. Because Tom Brady has enough trouble dodging the guys that linemen miss. He can't have a back out there that's not hitting anybody.
Okay.
He's the franchise. He goes down, the team goes down, and everyone knows it.
I'm mildly surprised that they picked a running back.
I am a little bit, too.
I have to admit, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm surprised it was... I am surprised they drafted Maroney.
It is what it is.
But
it
I think it's great. If the guy comes in and, you know, can, you know, run for 1,300 yards his first year, I'm happy with that.
He fits the Bill Belichick big back kind of mold. I mean, he certainly has that. He's 217 and, you know, with, if you believe the scouting reports, the ability to put on another 10 pounds maybe. You're talking about a big back, speed, you know, pass protection questions, whatever. I mean.
Justin Alaska says, let's be real. Dylan will be hurt in week two. The kid will have to step up. I don't see the Pats getting a free agent running back for number two as we sit here in April, so I think that Maroney's going to get some time. The question is, as usual, health. But I'll throw the dice with Maroney, then bank on Dylan's health.
By the way, Andy, Bill will go in a couple of minutes and before the conference call, so we'll be out there for the press conference.
All right, thanks. We'll see you tonight.
They didn't say anything about a conference call yet, so everybody's sitting around the podium waiting for Bill.
And how are we going to know when Bill gets here?
I would assume we'll hear Bill, you know, walk to the podium or something, you know.
Tony says you should have paid closer attention to my earlier email. I think the Patriots will address the linebacker and defensive back positions in the second and third round.
We've paid attention. We pay attention to all the emails, by
That's
the way.
That's true.
We do listen to Fred reads them, and we pay attention.
Well, I may not have read that one.
Oh.
Sorry. Fred doesn't read them.
No, because we got so many emails coming in about the subject at hand.
So you're just bouncing around?
Well, yeah, I still have a ton of emails we haven't gotten to.
Oh, okay.
That came in before.
Oh, I'm sorry, then. So if we didn't read the email, then I apologize for that.
You know? So what did you say about Bill? He's coming there any minute, Paul?
Well, everybody's sitting around waiting for him, and I'm told it could be within 5 minutes.
Okay, so as soon as that happens,
we're going to go out, all of us.
Yeah,
I want to hear what Bill has to say.
I do, too. We'll go. So do all our listeners.
Shoot,
so we'll go live to that as soon as that happens. And
you don't really need it.
How are we going to find that out?
We'll hear Bill talking.
Okay,
maybe.
So you guys will run out.
I really don't know. We're kind of...
Do you want me to work it so someone comes in and...
No, we're not going to hear Bill talk unless we go to the podium.
No, I put a 10 on this frickin' circus.
Well, isn't Gary out there for that?
Yeah, but we need somebody out there to tell us
that
it's happening. Because right now we're in a radio booth at Gillette Stadium.
Overlooking a field with a new design on it. Yep, that's the circus music. We deserve it.
It's the soccer circles.
That's how it always looks for soccer games, the spiral with
the
checkerboard
middle.
Well,
whenever the Patriots aren't playing the next day, yeah. They, Revolution opens their season tomorrow here at Gillette Stadium.
We're all thrilled. I'll be attending my first Revs game ever. And now I've said too much about the Revs.
Okay.
Let's get back to football.
I
got to tell you, I'm not in love with the pick.
Gary's
I don't love
let
it.
Us know. Okay.
As it's percolating, I think I fall less in love with it. Yeah.
He doesn't love it.
I just
like that they have
a
backup for Dylan.
I like that, but...
Can I ask a question?
Did you guys see that San Francisco picked Manny Lawson with the next pick?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
2 hours ago.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The new CBA, restricting the terms, is that the whole first round, or isn't it just the top... amount of guys at the top 10. There's a certain amount of guys that can be given 6-year deals, and then the rest, I think, are limited to 5.
I thought it was the first round, but I don't
know. It's the whole first round, or the top half of the first round, or does anybody know?
I thought it was the first.
Oh, okay. I was going to read his lips again.
It's Winston Justice, offensive tackle, USC.
That'd be a good pick.
How do you know that, Tom?
Because I know everything.
Tampa Bay, Tom is predicting
Winston
Justice.
Another side of Tom's here I'm not necessarily in love with.
All right.
Well, no, they need an offensive tackle. You figure that that's what they
Well, based
take.
On that offensive line performance we saw at Gillette Stadium last year, they certainly do need an offensive tackle.
Help out the Cadillac.
Boy,
Mr. Sims.
That was one of the worst blocking performances. Remember That was just unbelievable, the pounding that both Cadillac and Sims took that day.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, webradio at Patriots.com. And once Bill Belichick gets done with his press conference, we'll have
we got a pick.
We have a pick coming up.
Let's say that. With the 23rd choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Davin Joseph, guard from the University of Oklahoma.
Well, it's offensive line.
All right, Tampa Bay going with the
they did the same line. Thing. They guessed Winston Justice, and then Mort said the same thing I did. Well, it's the offensive line.
No, it's Davin. I thought the Providence Journal said it was David.
I'll get to that in a second.
By the way, this pick sucks.
I thought you knew everything.
Usually I do.
Okay. I actually teased Tom Curran about that yesterday.
Yeah.
In the Providence Journal. I'll believe him because I mean I don't
editor.
See why would I, they changed it.
That's what I told Tom. I bet you an editor read that and said it can't be an
N. Can't be
that name isn't that makes sense. And they put a D. It's kind of like when Fred would have cut the E off the Ty Hill had
not
we drafted
a
him.
Patriot fans not overly in love with the Maroney pick.
I'm not either.
I'll tell you, this is the pattern though, Tom. Didn't I tell you what would happen?
Most
the draft?
Of them like it, but
The pattern, Fred, and you can back me up on this when we do the show, is the immediate reaction is negative. It stays negative for about an hour, and then all of a sudden, all the positive reactions.
Well, last year it took until the next morning.
Well, last year it wasn't an hour. It was a whole. It was a whole second.
But then
day.
The next morning, then we started getting the more rational.
Well, after they realized, you know, Chris Berman's breakdown of Logan Mankins and that he was a football player, I think that kind of relieved some people's minds.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when they drafted Ben Watson. Everybody said Ben Troop was the best tight end on the board. And you're kind of like, well, you didn't take the best tight end on the board. You didn't take the best running back on the board here. It's a position. Yeah, we needed a running back, but fans feel like maybe there was a better one on the board. They didn't take the best player available. Now, that said, they took a Bill Belichick big back.
Bill from Louisiana says, I like the pick Maroney. I'm sure he was interviewed extensively in the past, probably grabbed the guy that will fit the best in their scheme. D'Angelo Williams played in Conference USA, not the toughest conference. I'll be interested to see where Williams goes today. The time is now for secondary and receiver help pretty quick. I definitely like Maroney's size, and I'm sure with some help from the Pats staff, he will turn out just fine. I keep hearing you guys mention Stallworth. It would be a major mistake. He's very unhealthy. Either draft a receiver or get Walker.
Okay, Fred, I have a problem with what he said about the conference, because if you look at Minnesota's non-conference schedule the last 2 years, they start off 5-0 every year because they're playing two Division I AA teams. They play Tulsa. They play teams that can't stop the run. So Maroney built up a lot of yards against teams that had no chance of stopping them. I've seen him get 240 yards like nothing, and he was sitting the whole fourth quarter. D'Angelo Williams, on the other hand, did play against a lot of tough teams that stacked the line just to stop him. So I don't buy that argument for 1 second.
And I'm going to say this about the veteran wide receiver part of that. We will not be interested in Dante Stallworth because he has hamstring problems, but we are interested in Javon Walker because he has a torn ACL. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
So there. Let's see. Mike says, I was not expecting a running back being picked, but I am glad that it was not Williams. I really don't see him being successful at the NFL level. He is small and already has a lot of wear and tear on his tires.
So did Emmitt Smith.
Maroney has not been hurt, has not been asked to carry the load, even though he is built to do so, and he is a much more patient runner than he is given credit for. I won't lie that I would like to have seen Manny Lawson, but Maroney definitely fits as the much better back for the Patriots than Williams.
But I will say that I bet Williams is the better pro.
Selling. You will.
Yeah, especially if he ends up in, you know, because right now, I'm telling you, Indianapolis got to be licking their chops right now, just praying that he slips to them.
Okay. So you're predicting.
And I liked the pick, by the way, so because I do like Maroney, but if you had a gun to my head and said who's going to be the better pro, I'd go with D'Angelo Williams.
Okay. Let's see. What do we got going on here?
Bill's
going to
do NFL first.
Bill Belichick, we just found out, will be on NFL Network first, so we can actually hear that.
Well, yeah, Gary just set it up so we can hear it.
Right. So we'll get that when he's on the NFL Network. Joey writes in, Maroney, who saw that coming? Not me. I got to figure we got a free agent receiver in the fold with all the wide receivers on the board and taking a running back. That said, welcome to New England, Lawrence. So
now here comes the other part of the predictable fan reaction. No one in the world knows what Belichick is doing, so no one saw this coming. Just because we thought that maybe Williams was better than Maroney means that no one... I mean, when they drafted a running back and we were talking about Williams, can we say that, you know, we thought Maroney was a possibility?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No question.
You know, that's the other part of the Belichick mantra. No one ever has any idea what they're going to do.
Someone's going to steal D'Angelo Williams.
I agree. And if it's the Indianapolis Colts, I say watch out. That's watch out.
How does Carolina let him get by, though?
Well, they kind of like a power back. Everything seems like they like Lendale White, the power back. Now, I don't know how everything else affects that pick, but I think that's the one way he slides by. They look for the big power guy.
Remember the time when it was Reggie Bush 1, Lendale White 2? For running backs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a long time ago.
Right? Just things change.
Just a heads up, Bill is going to do the NFL Network first.
Yeah,
so heard it.
That.
Oh.
Yeah. You're about, you know, 3-4 minutes behind.
Yeah, normally,
I'll keep my opinions to myself then.
Normally I would defend you, but that's exactly what you would have done if someone else came in and did that. Tom, I would have been all over his defense there. Because
on the internet, right? I can say whatever I
want. He wouldn't have done that. But right. just looking, Cincinnati, Giants, definitely, in my opinion, won't take running backs. Chicago...
Cedric Benson.
The Jets. The
Colts, they did get Benson.
The Colts,
I forgot about Benson.
Jacksonville.
So that's three teams that absolutely won't take running
right
backs.
Right here, though. Carolina, Jacksonville, Jets, and Indianapolis.
All of them
are running backs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any way that D'Angelo Williams gets to the Colts.
But if
unless
he does,
they trade up.
That would be a coup.
Cause, no, because Chicago is looking to trade down. That's one of the teams that only has, like, six picks and wants to trade down, so the Colts could trade up with them
well,
at 26.
Well, they'd have to trade at least that high to get
right.
To get him, because I don't see any way... All of those teams, Carolina, Jacksonville, and the Jets. I can't see them all passing up on D'Angelo Williams.
Antonio Holmes, not happy.
Justin
rolling
Alaska
his head around.
Alaska says, it seems that you are saying that since Maroney can't pass block. Oh, here's Bill Belichick. Let's go to that right now.
No, it's a pleasure to be on. So let's talk about your pick, Lawrence Maroney. What's the thinking process behind that?
Well, we had very high grades on Lawrence, and you know, we feel like he could be a real productive player for us in our system. We first... saw Lawrence last year when we were evaluating Marion Barber, and he's an outstanding player, very productive, good speed, good runner, and we like our running backs. We have some very talented players at that position, but they're getting up there in terms of experience, and it's good to add a young player that we feel like we can work with and you know, integrate into the system now.
And Bill, this is Mike. When you anticipated this draft over the last few days, did you think that you'd have a choice between, say, Manny Lawson, Chad Jackson, your pick Maroney? You know, it was heavy defense for a while. Were you happy the way the cards played out?
Well, we just kind of sat back and let it come to us, Mike. In the end, I think that the value for Lawrence was, in our opinion, very good, and that's why we made that selection. So there are a lot of other good players on the board that, you know, that we're interested in. I'm sure will be very good players in this league, but we felt like that was the best pick. Both for his value and his performance, and also to help our football team.
And Bill, you have four of the first 86 draft picks today. Does this lend itself, this particular draft, to a strength in any one area? And where do you think you can take advantage of it, moving up or down?
You know, that's a good question, Mike. But you know, we're always open to that, and I think that you know, having extra picks gives you the flexibility to be able to work the board. Not only in the first round, but in later rounds. We'll just see how that plays itself out with whatever opportunities come our way. But we're excited about those picks, and hopefully we can improve our football team with those opportunities one way or another. I'm just not sure how that's going to play out yet.
And you've been snake bit a little bit with the cornerback position the last couple of years, your safeties, and a little bit with the linebackers with injuries. Are you happy with what you did in the offseason, and what do you have to do to become a better team in that back seven, back eight?
Well, I think there are a lot of things we can do better. Let's start with the coaching. So maybe I can coach a little better. I think that'll help us out more than anything. But we can use depth at every position on the football team. And so wherever we get an opportunity to add players that we feel like can contribute to our system, you know, that's what we'll do. But that pretty much goes across the board.
Well, Bill, we know how busy you are. Thanks for taking time. Get back in your war room, and we'll talk to you a little later.
Okay, it's always a pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
All right, that was Bill Belichick on the NFL Network. We're going to take a break right now. And
I'm
when we come
laughing.
Back, we'll have Bill Belichick Joseph live here at Gillette.
Always a pleasure.
And our own guys can ask him their questions. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back. And the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans of Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration. Free at every home match. Plus this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution ticket office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now. Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. This is PFW in progress.
This is Mr. Hadley. He's captain of the guards. I'm Mr. Norton, the warden. You are convicted felons.
PFW in progress.
Rule number one, no blasphemy. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison. The other rules, you'll figure out as you go along. Any questions?
When do we eat?
With Fred Kirsch.
Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson.
What's next?
Count Monte Cristo.
That's Cristo, you dumb sh**.
Who's this agent? Ben Dofa?
Or? No, Gary Uberstein.
Who am I thinking of?
Alexandre Dumas. Dumas.
Dumas.
Paul Perillo.
I only ask three beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell.
Hey, come on, old boys. Move it like molasses. Making me look bad.
We liked him immediately.
Andy Hart.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine.
And while I'm excited about my future, Dayton Hope.
Some guy named Tom.
What the crisis is, Happy Horse.
You took the
Lord's
name in vain. I'm telling
him what. You'll be telling him about the tonic, your ass. What is your mouth,
fucking
fat barrel of monkey spunk?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Nothing left but that cupcake on the wall.
Let's ask her.
Maybe she knows. What say there, fussy britches? Feel like talking?
PFW in progress.
I believe in two things.
PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. We're waiting for Bill Belichick to get to the podium, and here he is.
Walker. So other than that, I really don't have anything else to say about it. In terms of the first pick, you know, the way that the players came off the board this year, I thought that we had good value with Lawrence there. We obviously had high grades on him. He's been a very productive player. We started off scouting him kind of indirectly last year when we were watching Marion Barber, and he's been a very productive player for Minnesota, both running the ball and on kickoff returns. And I think that he brings an element of speed and certainly youth of the position. I like our backs. I like the production that we have from Kevin, Patrick, and Corey. But in terms of experience, they're all up there, you know, 7, 8-plus years, and we really feel like it's good to have a young player to work with. But more importantly, Lawrence was the best value on the board at that point, and so that's what we decided to do. As usual in the draft, there are always options to at that pick, but in the end, we felt like Lawrence was the best addition to our team, and so that's why we selected him. So that's where we're at.
Now, his receiving numbers improved dramatically this year.
Well, I think he is a versatile player. I think he's got good skill. You know, last year when Barber was there, when they were in a lot of their one-back sets, they split Barber out of the backfield, and Lawrence was the running back this year. With Barber gone, he became the split-out, flexed-out guy. Different but similar to the Carnell Williams, Ronnie Brown situation at Auburn last year. So Minnesota does that. You know, they've had pretty good backs up there, and a lot of times they have, you know, two backs in the backfield, but a lot of times they have one of those guys detached. This year, Lawrence was more the detached back. Last year, Marion Barber was more the detached guy. So I think that probably the scheme has a little bit to do with his production this year in the passing game.
Were there any concerns about his ability to carry the load? I know that
he's been carrying it. So.
Bill, nine straight defensive players went off the board before you made your pick. That because it would have been the fifth linebacker or the fifth defensive lineman, you go for the second best running back on the board because you would have been dropping down.
Well, you know, again, we really can't control what comes off the board before us, and where those players rank with other teams and within the league is that's out of our control. We just look at our board and go based on value and how we think the player will come in and contribute to our football team on a going forward basis. So that's really what drove the decision. I don't know what other players would have been up there that would have made it different. They weren't there, so it was never really part of the consideration.
What do you like about him the most as a running back? It doesn't seem like in terms of the pure 40 that he's the fastest guy out there.
He's pretty fast. I don't think you're going to be writing that this guy's slow. So.
What did you like about him the most?
He's been a productive player for him. He's been a very productive player. He's got ability to make long runs. He's, you know, plays with good strength for his size. You know, he's 217 or whatever. He probably may play a little bigger than that. I don't know, not a lot, but. So I think he's got good playing strength, he's got good speed, and he's been a guy that's been productive. It's been very productive for him. So I don't know. It doesn't really make any difference. He's what he is, they're what they are, and he's a Patriot. So, you know, we're going to use him in our system based on his strengths and what we ask our backs to do. I think it's different than Dylan's. Dylan's bigger. Maroney's probably faster. So. I don't know. I'm sure there are. Well, I don't know. I think he can make a positive impact and contribution, but, you know, we'll have to see how all that plays out. We've never had him in our system, obviously, and we'll just have to see how he comes in and learns it. And once we, you know, work with him, how quickly he picks up the things we ask him to do and, you know, where that fits in. I mean, I don't know. That'll be up to him and what his performance level is for our team and relative to the other people he's competing with. I mean, it's the same for everybody.
Do
So was there a game that he played last year that really stood out? I saw he had a 43-carry game, a 46-carry game.
I think he had quite a few good games. Yeah, I mean, they're, I don't think it's just one, you know, he's been a productive guy for him, and he had several games where he's, and, you know, I don't think you'll have a problem. Take a look at the Purdue game. There's quite a few of them.
Was pass protection an issue at all just because he played in such a ground-based offense?
I think pass protection is probably an issue for just about every back coming into the National Football League. It's different, and we'll have a lot more protections than what Minnesota ran. They were more of a play-action team, although they had some drop-back, and, you know, I think he's big enough and stout enough, but he'll need work on pass protection. He'll need work on everything, just like every rookie will.
Were you contacted by anyone today about moving up or moving down?
There's all pretty much always options on that, and we decided to stay where we were and pick Maroney. So.
Do you have pretty good work
ethic, though? I think he's got good intangibles, yes. He's a smart kid. You know, he works hard. He's durable. He's been a, you know, good solid guy. Does a lot of things well. And it's, you know, and it has a lot of work to do. You know, believe me, I don't think anybody comes in this league as a finished product, and he certainly is in that category. There's a lot of things that he'll need to improve on and work on, but we think he can do them and contribute. So.
Anything surprise you about the way this first round played out?
No, I don't know. It's probably about. Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any great expectations one way or the other. I think it's a hard thing to predict, so. You just let people make their decisions and their picks and evaluate the board, you know, as either as it's going, if you want to try to move, or what's there when it's your opportunity to make a selection.
Is he really good for the mix in the body way in terms of returning to pick up the
turn? If he's good enough, he'll have an opportunity to. It's just, you know, come down like everybody else, however well they perform, and whatever role they can create for themselves, that's what every new player will have. And that goes for everybody. Any new player coming on our team, they'll have to establish it for themselves. It's no different than anybody else. Mankins, Ty Warren, Seymour, I mean, you know, they're all the same. No, but whatever role a player can establish for himself on the team, that's what he can establish. It's the same for everybody. I mean, I can't tell you exactly what anybody's going to do. I wish I could, but, you know, you give people the opportunity and let them perform their skills and evaluate them relative to what you're asking the guy to do in the competition. At his position or on the team, and go from there. So it's the same for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is.
So how big an issue is the other back's age, based on just the history of running?
It wasn't a big issue. I'm saying I think you want to have young players at every position to work with. I mean, that's something you always want on your team. But that wasn't what drove the pick. What drove the pick was the value of the player. Relative to the other players on the board in for our system. That's not to say there aren't other good players on the board that are going to play well in the league. There's plenty of them. But for what we need and what we ask our players to do, we felt like he had the best value on the board, so that's why we selected him.
How was Corey Dillon doing this offseason team training here?
You know, I talked to Corey, and I talked to him today, and I think he, you know, understands, and I explained to him what, you know, what the situation was and all that, and we expect Corey to be ready to go. I'm sure that that he will be. He's a professional. He's been a very productive player for us, and we expect Corey to have major contributions for us this year, as we do Kevin and Patrick. I mean, I think our backs are talented. I think they've been productive for us, and I expect them to continue to be. You know, I talk to most all of our players, and whatever our conversations are between the player and coach are player and coach conversations. So. I talk to players all the time. I mean, why would I not talk to them? They were actually here. So. Okay. Anything else? You guys good? Okay. Thank you.
Right, that was Bill Belichick, and interesting, he did in fact
talk to Corey Dillon today about the pick. So maybe GM Jr., the scouting report was right about that. In the meantime, we have some more picks that have come down, not the Patriots, of course, while Bill Belichick was talking. Tampa Bay, we know, took Davin Joseph. Cincinnati took Jonathan Joseph, the cornerback out of South Carolina, in just now, Pittsburgh has done a deal with the Giants to get into the 25th spot. Don't have the details on that, but that's 32 to 25. That's quite a jump for the Steelers. So they must really have somebody in mind there. And in fact, they have picked Santonio Holmes from Ohio State. So very interesting. Pittsburgh trying to beef up the wide receiving core. And Paul's back. Tom's back from the press conference. Guys.
Well, I'm here to, first of all, I want to be the first one to openly apologize to Russ Landy.
You were the second one. I was
GM Jr.
I was, you know, in fact, Bill Belichick did call Corey Dillon today to talk to him about that.
Are you freaking kidding me? I am shocked. The most shocking thing I've ever covered since I've been here.
Wow.
Really?
How did the volume go way up again?
I can't believe that. IOGM Jr. What's his name? You got his name?
Russ Landy.
Russ Landy? I apologize, Russ Landy.
I still say he doesn't know what he's
talking
about.
You are a far better expert at anything in football than I. I made fun of you, and I was wrong. Of course, Bill Belichick did call Corey Dillon to explain the situation to him before drafting Lawrence Maroney.
So Michael Perini just told me that the Giants would select Santonio Holmes.
They did. They traded up. The
Giants would take him.
No, the Steelers took him. The Steelers traded up into the Giants' spot and took Santonio Holmes. So I don't know what the Giants got for that, but they really must have targeted him, the Steelers, because that's they went from, what, 32 to 25? That's seven spots. So, interesting. Guys, anything from Bill Belichick you want to discuss? I mean, it was basically the same thing we heard on NFL Network, but besides the revelation that he talked
to Corey Dillon. To be honest with you, that's the only thing I really found noteworthy at all. I mean, he said all the stuff that you would normally expect Belichick to say about a draft pick, value. The pick was driven by the value that they had for him on the board, very productive. He did stress at one point the speed. Does that ease your fears at all? Because I know you were questioning whether or not.
Well, he said you guys aren't going to be.
You won't be worried about this guy being slow. You won't be writing about him being slow. He said at one point, kick returner. In that kind of a mix. So, I thought he had a lot of positive things to say. But again, I mean, I'm still waiting for the first coach to say. Negative things about one
this
of his
guy
draft
was
picks.
This right. Is the guy we really wanted. He doesn't fit our system.
Brian Morey, I heard him have a question regarding the run on defensive players that happened just before the Patriots pick, whether or not you'd be picking the third or fourth best linebacker rather than the second best running back, and of course
that's probably what happened.
That was a
good observation, not necessarily a good question because the value thing, but it's a good observation that Brian had talked to me about before the press conference started, and I agreed with him. You're probably looking at a situation, speak of Brian,
Brian's leaving.
Well, they made the first round pick. He's a radio guy. He can go home now. God bless you.
It is my 7-year-old son's birthday.
Forget what I just said then. I'm really questioning your motives for being here now.
His son has a birthday like four times a year.
Brian, we were just applauding your observation of the 9 consecutive defensive players going before the Patriots picked, which means I think your question is a good observation, not necessarily a good question, knowing that Bill's probably going to answer it just the way he did, but the observation probably is right on in terms of you can't pass up the value.
And you just got to wonder who.
See you, Brian.
Who in that group the Patriots would have picked? Somebody did ask for the comparison between D'Angelo Williams, and he wasn't going there.
Yeah, I didn't really catch that.
He just said, he is who he is, and Lawrence is who he is, and we feel that he's going to be the best
it
for
is
us.
What it is.
So, obviously, there's stuff that Maroney can do, and he mentioned what we asked our backs to do. So,
and he also said that he has not talked to or seen Javon Walker. That was the other big thing that came out.
Oh, that's
that.
Right. That's a good point, Tom. The very first thing he said.
Well, why would he? It'd be Pioli and the other guy.
Well, it could be a semantics thing.
Right.
Absolutely
exactly.
Could be a semantics thing.
Exactly. All right.
Trade with the Bills and the Bears.
The Bills and the Bears. They got some late round trades going on here.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Right now, the Steelers gave up a boatload for Santonio Holmes.
What'd they give up?
They gave up the 96, the 120 something, and the 32nd pick. So three picks to move up to nab Santonio Holmes.
They really wanted this guy, Santonio Holmes.
And now the Bears were a team that was rumored that wanted to trade down. So they have traded down.
Can we go back to 96, 120, what?
129 or something like that. But the Bears did want to trade down, and it appears they have now traded down into the second round, which they must have gotten a few picks, for the Bills to come up here. Now, this is interesting. I wonder who they're targeting with this pick.
The Bills
I know who they're targeting with this pick. It has to be Chad Jackson, right? Receiver?
That makes sense.
They're weak at receiver.
Certainly makes sense.
Chad Jackson still
on
the board.
Josh Reed and Lee Evans aren't getting it. Is Josh Reed even there still? Did he sign somewhere else?
I think that he re-signed there.
So what else for that Pittsburgh Giants trade? 129, and was there another pick?
90-something. It was 96, 90, and 32, the last pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
So.
Okay, so did we ever get the number of that Baltimore-Cleveland swap? What did Cleveland get?
I got it somewhere.
Okay.
It was one pick, sixth round.
Sixth round pick?
Yeah.
For one spot, that's it? That's all it costs? Not bad.
All right, let's see. We got a bunch of emails coming in on Lawrence Maroney. So
I'd be interested to see what the Bills do here, though.
We'll see it.
I'm just saying.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Justin says, it seems that you are saying that, oh, maybe we already did that one. It seems that you are saying that since Maroney can't pass block now, we're screwed. I'm sure you don't mean that, but that's what it sounds like.
Well, I don't think anyone's saying that. And I think that Bill's answer to that question, actually, I agree with wholeheartedly. I mean, I think most college running backs were the man in college, and that what they did was they ran the football. You know, good first round potential running backs in college probably weren't asked to do a whole lot of pass blocking. I think Bill said that that's probably a trait of many college running backs coming out, is that they struggle a little bit in pass protection. And I don't look at that. I think that he is a guy that potentially can put on some weight. And if Kevin Falk at his size can develop into a quality pass protector, I have no doubt that Lawrence Maroney can too.
I'm sure Ivan Fears will get that squared away. So may I ask, round two, what position would you like to see picked? P.S. Tom, I can hear you typing, but you know, that is a little more pleasant than all of the negative reaction to our pick.
My negative reaction?
Tom loved the pick.
I love the pick.
I think he's talking about me, maybe.
Here we go. This is Tom Casale on the Patriots.
Have I been negative?
The Patriots made Minnesota's Lawrence Maroney the 21st pick in the draft. I think this is a great selection. Maroney gives the Patriots a game-breaker at running back with great speed and the kind of runner they haven't had in New England in almost a decade. Maroney has great vision in the hole, and he gives the Patriots insurance behind Corey Dillon. Dillon is getting older and has battled injury problems in the past couple of seasons. Now, the Patriots don't only have a viable replacement for Dillon, but also a player who can be the featured back once Dillon is gone. The addition of Maroney also helps Dillon this season. Now, the veteran doesn't have to carry the ball over 300 times. Expect Maroney to get roughly 10 carries a game to help keep Dillon fresh. Maroney is a great pick for the Pats. He's a talented player at a position the Patriots needed to upgrade. Love the pick.
You know,
that was Tom Casale's blog.
And Tom,
entry.
You know, probably a lot of what you said is a lot of what Belichick said to Dillon today. He's like, look, Corey, you're still going to get your carries, but you're not going to have the load. We're going to have this guy carry 5 to 10 times a game, and it's going to make it better for you.
Right.
You know, so good blog there, Tom.
Thanks.
I like this pick a lot. I think a quality running back.
Well, you would, because you like.
You're right,
Fred. You know,
I can't argue
players.
With you. I can't argue
you
with
like
you.
You like skill players.
What I think is
the Bears get 42 and 73 from Buffalo for that trade, by the way.
Okay.
The thing is, Fred, though, that running back was such a bad position for them last year, and it got Tom Brady darn near killed. So they really had to address it. And if they wanted to address it in the first round, that's fine with me.
We're coming up on a pick here.
With the 26th choice in the 2006 NFL draft, just acquired from the Chicago Bears, the Buffalo Bills select John McCargo, defensive tackle at North Carolina State.
Well, there's your defensive tackle.
Well, that's the guy they should have taken in the first pick. Not McCargo, but they should have taken, Nada or one of those guys.
Well, I have to admit, though, the Bills have just...
Bunkley?
The Bills have just upgraded their defense quite a bit here with, McCargo to go next to Larry Triplett, who they signed. Their secondary solidified.
I think if the Bills had just come away with Whitner in the first round at that high a pick, you'd be like, eh. But when they combine it with two guys in the first round like they did, I think that's okay. I think they did all right now.
And, you know, I like the picks on defense because this is a team that's going to have to play great defense to succeed this year. They're not going to outscore anybody. Holcomb's probably going to have to play ball control with Willis McGahee. So I don't mind the picks.
And don't forget that his team is a year removed from having a defense that won games for him.
Right.
Two years ago, the defense was good enough to win games. They lost Spikes last year early on, and it all kind of fell apart on them. But this is a defense that is not that far away, I don't think.
I agree.
Still without a quarterback.
Right. Absolutely, Fred.
And what, Paul, what was it, 42 and Watt in that trade?
73, I want to say, the next time Buffalo picked.
Ethan from Delaware, I do not like the pick of Maroney. We needed defensive help a lot more. This has ruined my entire afternoon. Now I'm going out to get seriously drunk.
Have fun, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell people their opinions are wrong, because I think that's wrong. Even, you know...
Getting drunk?
No. Oh. Well, I think that's a great opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
But I think a lot of times we sit here and when people disagree with our opinions, we can get a little bit confrontational. But, I would disagree a little bit about the whole notion that the defense was... You know, so I think when the defense came together late in the year, when everybody was healthy,
I agree.
I think that the defense was good and the offense was lacking. And I think one of the reasons, the main reason, something that Tom and I really talked about from day one, was the running game was just gone.
You know,
it just never was an option. And once teams realized that,
you're right.
They blitzed the heck out of
them. You know, and I'll be the first to admit that I all season was saying, "Don't worry, Corey's going to come around," and Tom and you guys were. You know, when? Next year? We got Paul.
Carolina, right on the good.
Very quickly.
Glendale White.
2006 NFL draft. The Carolina Panthers select D'Angelo Williams.
Oh,
D'Angelo Williams.
I told you there was no way he was getting to Indianapolis.
Wow. Glendale White
pick.
Really slipping. Okay.
This is, in my opinion, the steal of the draft right here.
Well, you talked about Carolina definitely going for a running back. And there he is.
And I thought that they would take Williams, and Andy thought he would take White because he's a power back.
He is a much smaller back than Maroney.
He's small.
I mean, we're just looking at him right now.
Yeah.
He's small. There's no question.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you know, it's funny how you can find things to pick guys apart about. You know, we talked a lot about, Bill talked 10 days ago at the pre-draft press conference about there's so many guys in this draft that we haven't seen a lot of production on. We haven't seen the evaluation because of, for whatever reason, they have limited Division I experience, injuries, transfers, all kinds of different reasons. Don't see them playing the position. Well, this is a guy who's the opposite. He had so much production and so many carries that maybe you wonder, you know, how many carries are in that body? He's not real big. You know, he carried the ball how many times at Memphis, Tom? I mean, we're talking. Yeah, I mean, you know, not many guys come out of college with the amount of carries under their belt. You know, maybe that was a negative that he had so many carries. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too much,
it's funny, though,
wear and tear on those tires.
He's only 3 pounds lighter than Maroney.
Yeah, he's. Well, the thing is, though, Emmitt Smith had a lot of carries, and he's built similar to Emmitt.
No doubt.
So that's I think it's not going to be a big deal.
Well, one of the things about Maroney, though, is...
I like this guy.
I'm just saying,
maybe one of the reasons why he goes down.
I hear you.
I
don't think he gets hit hard a lot, so I think it's kind of different.
When you look at Maroney, though, he is sort of an upright kind of runner
No, he's an Eric Dickerson kind of runner.
And
clearly Carolina had no qualms about making this picket. They didn't take any time at all.
It took a few seconds.
It looks like, you know, Maroney could possibly add some weight in the bubble, in the thighs, perhaps. I don't know if that'll slow him
down. Good bubble talk from Fred.
But you know, he is a little smaller down there. You know, only a few pounds heavier than Williams. So, you know, it's possible. We are reading that maybe he could gain some weight. So
I was going to ask Bill that, if he had the kind of frame to put some weight on.
Well, he looks like he does.
Yeah. Like I said, below the waist, it looks like, you know, you could maybe get a little stronger down there. Let's see. Anthony says, I love the pick because if you look at the Patriots, biggest problem besides their issues with defense was the Patriots couldn't run the ball all last year. Anthony's from Boynton Beach, Florida.
Right. And what I started to say before the Panthers made their pick is, you know, when we're talking about the problems, defense, offense, whatever, yeah, they had the problems on defense early, and then they got that straightened out and they were playing very well. And the offense was playing so well most of the year, and they started struggling late. Well, the reason why I think that happened was because once opposing defenses finally figured out that, hey, Corey Dillon isn't, you know, this sleeping giant. He's just not going to do it this year. For whatever reason, whether it was the offensive line's fault, whether it was injuries to Dillon, or if Dillon's just plain done. In that game in Denver, I thought John Lynch's comment to Tom after the game was really telling when he made the comment about, we knew that they couldn't run the ball, that they wouldn't be able to run, and we just were going to blitz them nonstop and make something happen, make them make plays, because we didn't have any fear whatsoever of the running game. And I think that was the mentality a little bit down the stretch against
that
the Patriots.
That is true. Yeah. Part of that, you know, confidence that Lynch said was the fact of the state of their offensive line at that point.
No, that's what I'm saying. Shambles. Whatever reason you say that they had no running game, when you don't have to worry about a running game, that's what happens. You can get away with blitzing like that.
Andrew says, let's hope we have better luck than last back we took in the first round, Robert Edwards. Keep Maroney off the beach playing flag football.
I agree.
Well, when the pick came up, someone asked about the second round. I think a guy you can look for now is Abdul Hodge, the middle linebacker from Iowa.
I think he'd make a great pick.
If he's still available there, that way you address the linebacker
position.
So
you don't wait to get the guy Schlegel from Ohio State?
Well, you could. I mean, I'm just throwing around a second-round pick that might be out there.
That's going to prevent you from getting both of those guys.
Let's see. Andrew says, goes on, with our needs at cornerback, outside linebacker, and wide receiver, do you think we need a backup running back in the first round?
Well, the thing about the we all believe this. We believe Vrabel's going to be playing outside. I think that's where he wants to play. I think that's where the Patriots want him.
Well, regardless, they have a hole at one of those
linebackers.
Right.
So I think it's more middle linebacker than outside, because
I think in a perfect world, I think you're right. I think if they had the choice to pluck a guy that's going to start at linebacker, they would pluck a guy that could start inside so they can move Vrabel back to the outside.
Let's see. Jarek in Toronto, not surprised, actually respect the pick. The first Denver game comes to mind, as we had no Matt Light, were hurt on defense, and Dylan was out. Defense is back, will be healthy by September, as will the O-line, but Dylan's health is an ongoing concern. Now, at strong safety or defensive end, with some outside linebacker versatility, would be a nice pick. So he's looking for safety, defensive end, or outside linebacker.
Daniel Bullock's out of Nebraska, that safety would be a nice pick, too.
Okay.
Tom's just a wealth of examples.
I'm just trying to think of guys who would be around when they mention the position.
Jack writes in, he's going to school at the University of Michigan. He says, I had an opportunity to watch Maroney play at the Big House last year, and I can tell you, he is no first rounder. He basically, what are you waving? What?
We have a pick?
Oh, we got a pick here, Jacksonville.
To the podium with the pick.
28th choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Mercedes Lewis, tight end from UCLA.
Okay.
Boy, do I hate that pick.
All right.
I mean, I couldn't hate that pick anymore.
I don't really
like
that pick very much.
It's a good thing I'm on the radio, because I'd really be swearing right now. What a terrible pick.
Should I block it?
let's see. Okay, getting back to Jag's email, he says, watching him at Michigan, he basically was tiptoeing behind the D-line and did not show any signs of exploding or any signs of creativity. His goal line stats were even worse. The other back for Gophers, Gary Russell or something, appeared much more dangerous, over 7 yards a carry and 120-plus yards on that day. I am so disappointed. We had Santonio Holmes, D'Angelo Williams, and we picked Maroney. I hope and pray Bill knows what he is doing.
Well, I should add that Russell could be a top-10 draft pick. I was actually telling Paul and Andy that it was Barber first, and then Maroney was expected to be better than him, and now Russell's expected to be the best of the group. So you could be talking about a future stud running back there with Russell. So it's hard to compare guys like that, because he's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and I think even a little faster than Maroney.
What round was Barber taken in?
Fourth.
Fourth, okay. By the way, I have no problem with that scouting report that email just made. But so you're basing your whole thing on one game that you watched. I think there's a lot more to go on than one game.
Well, if you want to give, I will give one negative to Maroney, and I mentioned this before we left, was they do play a very soft non-conference schedule, Minnesota, every year, and he does rack up 240, 220 yard games against some of those bad defenses. So if anyone out there wants to do this for me or whatever, wants to check it out, see what he did against the Ohio States and the teams that had the Wisconsins, teams that had the better defenses, and that'll give you a better gauge on him. I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it right now.
Joe from Des Moines, Iowa, I love the Maroney pick, a bigger, strong back for the New England cold weather, but what is up with that tie Belichick is wearing?
A bad tie, I agree.
Are you kidding me?
But I'm surprised he even wears the tie and dress. I guess he always does.
The Jets are on the clock. Manny Lawson here?
I don't have
Jets are on the clock.
Manny Lawson's gone, guy.
He is?
Yeah.
Where the?
Manny Lawson went right after the Patriots.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, Lawson's slipping. I forgot. San Fran took him in like 3 seconds.
Right after us.
Doug from Blackstone writes in, with the running game being taken care of early, is there a position that you feel strongly about at 52, or is it a best value kind of day? P.S. Paul, great job in EEI today. Also, you guys sound like you're talking through a tunnel for some reason.
Yeah, there's definitely have some audio issues here.
Yeah.
You know.
Mercedes Lewis is M-A-R-C-E-D-E-S.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm putting it on the web, guy.
I'm pretty sure.
Are you blogging, Paul?
Yes, I am.
Paul is blogging.
I'm not blogging anything that I'm not saying. You don't need to not tune into what we're saying.
Todd from Jacksonville, Florida. The more I read on Maroney, the more I like him. It's said on his prospect profile that he caught 85% of his passes out of the backfield, has good speed to the outside, and can run over tacklers, has the quickness to get through the holes fast. It also says that his speed is 4.45. And has the ability to make sharp cuts, can make hard catches look easy by adjusting to bad passes, although with Brady, it shouldn't be too much of a problem, and he's not a fumbler. Negative on his pass blocking is his pass blocking, and he doesn't attack aggressively enough on every carry, making him an easy target to take down. Hopefully, Fears and Belichick can write this stuff, but in all, a good pick, I think. So, it's... You know, it's funny, you read these reports, and some say he's very quick through the hole, others say that he's slow through the hole, that once he gets going, you know, he'll be fine. So,
you like Leonard Pope better than Mercedes Lewis?
All right, Jets are about to make a pick, and let's go to the podium, because...
Nick Mangold, center, Ohio State.
He makes a lot of sense.
With the 29th choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Nick Mangold.
There you go. You were right, Tom. So they take the center from
and
Ohio
I should have
State.
Been right with...
Tom's got a swerve back
no,
on.
No, but I should have been right with Tampa Bay. They just don't know what they're doing. They need an offensive tackle.
Well, I think that's a good pick for the Jets.
Very really good pick.
Because they need all the help they can get up front there. And
well, and they've solidified their offensive line through this draft, that's for sure.
Yep. So... All right, so that's the Jets.
They lost two major pieces to their offensive line in the offseason with Kevin Mawai and Jason Fabini, and now they have two young guys that if they pan out in the brick and Mangold, and Mangold we know was thought of highly in these quarters, you know, they have a chance to have a real solid offensive line, and they can put the other pieces together later on down the road. I think that Eric is really trying to absorb what he learned and what he watched and observed under Bill, and he's trying to put that into place right now. I think that's a solid start to his first draft.
Yeah, very good. And so we got the Colts on the clock. Do they go Lendale White, or are they going to reach for Joseph Addai?
I'm excited to be a head coach.
I definitely do not reach for that. Now, Lendale White, if I'm confident in my what I've done in terms of my preparation, I do it, but not Joseph Addai.
No, me either. Not even close.
Okay. They'll draft a
don't tell me you don't hear your phone ring.
Tom's
okay, you did hear it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob writes in, he says he loves the Maroney pick, hits the hole with speed, can catch two. He hopes we move up and get Richard Marshall. So
we like Richard Marshall. That's one of the guys that Tom and Andy talked about.
I think he's a possibility with the next three picks if the Colts don't go running back with Seattle and with the Giants. I think all could go with Richard Marshall.
All right. Let's see. Kevin's in Arizona. He says... About Williams, he didn't face superior competition than Maroney in the non-conference. He chose to sit out versus Tennessee in a game that Memphis actually had a chance to win in for the first time in decades. The injury was considered by most a playable one. He also faced the mighty defense of Chattanooga and put up 200 yards and three TDs. When he did face a BCS defense, he was held to 85 yards,
Colts
no
are on
TDs,
the clock here, Freddie.
And 3.5 per carry versus Ole Miss. Let's go
hold
to
on.
The podium.
In the 2006 NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Joseph Addai.
Awful pick. Awful pick. Awful pick.
So they were determined to get a running back.
Awful pick.
And you've got to imagine if the Patriots hadn't picked Maroney and if Williams was on the board, they'd have picked him because Joseph Addai.
But
you know, forget about what style. He's definitely not as good as either of those two.
But Fred, ask that emailer if the Patriots had selected D'Angelo Williams, he'd have just redone his stats and told us all the good things about D'Angelo Williams. Listen, the guy can play, and what I'm saying here right now is he'll be a better pro than Lawrence Maroney by a little bit, but I still like the Maroney pick.
He says where Maroney did pad his numbers was versus Florida Atlantic. He also did show up.
What about Southern Illinois? That doesn't count.
He
Illinois
also
State?
Did show up versus Tulsa? A loss to Ohio State with 127 yards and a TD, and at Michigan in a win with 129 and a TD. Williams, in my opinion, is a third down back or Quentin Griffin at best.
Oh, boy. I have to say that is completely off.
Okay.
Quentin Griffin is not in the NFL anymore. You know who's Quentin Griffin? The guy all the Patriot fans want, Maurice Drew. There's your Quentin Griffin right there.
Larry writes in about Maroney. I did not see Minnesota that much. All the people I could find had him third running back in the first round, about where we got him. Outside of White, I had to look at number 8 running back to find a bigger back. I think Belichick likes bigger guys with some speed. Well,
I agree. I think that's true. I'm not saying that D'Angelo Williams fits better into this system. I just think he's a very good player, and I think he'll fit in well at Carolina, and both guys will probably have good, productive careers.
David says he's happy. Patriots have added a top running back to the team. He's big, reasonably fast, and can block very well. Well, so then here we go. You know, we hear other reports that he hasn't blocked that well, but whatever. Having a good running system keeps the defense honest when it comes to pursuing a quarterback. Just ask Arizona's quarterbacks last year. The Pats got younger at a skill position in the draft. That hasn't happened too often. The Pats had many good players available to choose, and they have one. I can guarantee you there will be players picked by teams as late as the 6th and 7th round that will make the teams and turn into starters. It's a crapshoot to a degree. I like his slippery style. He's a guy who can move 3 yards laterally in a moment. He will cause defenses to adjust their game plan as early as next year. I think he will provide a great contrast to Corey Dillon. He was a player I was kind of hoping that the Pats may get. It is good to address one of the many positions needed. You can't address them all with one pick. The Pats are on their way. NFL Network showed him making some good plays, pass blocking, by the way. And Dave is from Winnipeg, Canada.
Bingo.
Fred, let me pose this question to you. We just saw a disgruntled Lendale White sitting there. How about the Houston Texans with the first pick in the second round take Reggie Bush's teammate, Lendale White?
Now, that would be interesting.
This pick by the Colts, by the way, is just terrible.
I felt so strongly, I went back and blogged another one.
It's awful.
I'm hot on the blog now, Tom.
Jesus, what a terrible pick.
I just ripped Bill Polian.
Let's see. Who is this? Buck, I guess. He says, thinking as far back as Curtis Martin, the Patriots have never needed a guy who gets 20 yards, one down, to the next, and to the next, which was what I would expect from Williams. What they've needed is a horse like Dillon and now Maroney. One thing, I hope they keep this guy out of the sand. Now let's get ourselves a linebacker like Hodge.
I wish we could turn back the clock, though, and have him draft D'Angelo Williams so we could hear about his durability, his quickness, comparing him to Barry Sanders and everything else. Just don't slam a guy just because you took another guy. But Maroney's probably better for this system. It doesn't mean D'Angelo Williams is a bad player just because they didn't select him and you have to justify it to yourself. He's a good player, and I think he's going to have a great NFL career.
Let's see. Papa Gino?
If they got D'Angelo Williams, it might have been Papa Gino's. What did you say?
If they go for Adam's Papa Gino's cake.
There you go. D'Angelo. Get it, Fred?
What? Papa? Oh, D'Angelo.
Oh.
It wouldn't be Papa Gino's. He'd be doing D'Angelo's.
Same company.
Oh, is it the same company? I didn't know that. Oh, that's right. Sometimes. No. Really?
I think so.
Oh. Anyway, okay. Let's see. Roger says...
All right. Ooh, what was that?
Roger thinks we should have gone with Santonio Holmes. The team needs help at wide receiver.
See, I thought that all our people thought that the Patriots don't pick by need.
Right.
And that they do it the right way by not picking by need. But now we're getting a lot... And I'm not... Listen, Santonio Holmes I would not have been upset with. Let me state that. This particular example, I think, would have been a fine pick. I think he's a good player.
But not for that reason.
But, yeah, why is everybody so hell-bent on thinking, you know, you have to fill all your needs when all we ever hear is Bill doesn't pick by need?
Well, but you guys are right. And, like, we were talking about this earlier. You know, I was really stubborn last year saying, you know, Corey would eventually come around. But the running game killed him.
Running back was a need.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be as glaring a need right now as wide receiver, but maybe they know something about Corey Dillon that they're not making public.
Exactly.
That we know.
That Tom and I have decided in week three.
Kevin is in Las Vegas. He says, I think the pick of a running back was the right one in the first round. There is depth at linebacker, Abdul Hodge, and cornerback Alan Zamitis in the second and third rounds. The running back position falls off a bit more. So.
Well, that's a good point, too.
Yeah. It's definitely linebacker is the deepest position in this draft, and that's why I think they went running back in the first round, knowing they could grab a linebacker in the second or third round if they chose to.
A lot of the so-called experts, Fred, that had the expanded mocks had Brian Calhoun from Wisconsin as a possibility for the Patriots in the second round. Now, a lot of people are worried about the size of the Patriots running back right now, you know, Maroney. Brian Calhoun's a midget. I mean, he's really small. Now, I think he's a good player whose production was excellent, but there's major concerns about his ability to take that to the next level because of his size. He's very, very small. So, you know, maybe you could have gotten another player another round, but I think that emailer is right. Abdul Hodge, I think, makes a ton of sense at linebacker in a later round, and there's probably some other guys at other positions that are deeper than running back. I think once you get beyond Adai, who was certainly going to go top of the second round anyway, you know, you get guys like Maurice Drew and Calhoun that are not every down backs, I don't think, in the NFL, until you get to Tom's guy, your sleeper in the middle round.
Norwood.
Is it Jarius Norwood?
Jarius Norwood.
Jarius.
The third or fourth round, probably.
Justin in Alaska says, I have to agree with Paul's statement about Lynch's comment after the playoff loss. They couldn't run the ball. That hurt because it was the truth in 05. Do you feel that we can't get a legitimate number two wide receiver, that the lack of that number two will prevent us from getting the running game going in 06?
Well, I think they definitely need one more receiver, because I think Rashay Caldwell would be fine as a three. And there's going to be something done. Obviously, they know they need another receiver, too. I don't think they're too worried about it. I think something will happen, and Rashay Caldwell will end up being the three, and Troy Brown the four.
Okay, we've got a lot of emails coming in at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. They're overflowing, Paul.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I've got two pages.
This is always our most popular show.
Always.
Day one of the draft is always...
Yeah, this is fun. This is my favorite show.
Let's get to some things.
You liking this today?
Yeah.
I was a little worried about you earlier. You didn't seem to be having as much fun as I was anticipating.
I just got to, you know, I got to get into mode, and once the draft gets going, I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, I'm liking the fact that we took a running back. I'm sorry. I'm very happy about the pick.
Eric from Amherst, Mass. says, now that the Jets and Miami are both going to be such well-run teams, it's comforting to see that we can still count on the Bills to choke when the chips are down.
He's talking about
the first pick.
I disagree. Yeah. I think the Bills did excellent with their two picks. And I'll go on right now with saying the Patriots will win the division, but I think the Bills finish second. I think Miami is going to pull a Dallas Cowboys with Parcells. I think they got lucky the first year. Paul mentioned this a few weeks ago, and it kind of hit with me. I think he kind of got lucky there his first year, but now he's got to bring his defensive players in and get that defense going. So I think Miami's going to actually take a step back this year and be better next year.
And the other part about Miami that you have to keep in mind, Fred, is their problems at quarterback are very unsettled. Even though they made the move for Culpepper, there's no knowing when exactly he's going to be ready to go. And I'm not just talking about playing. I'm talking about playing to his 100% capabilities. And I'm not sure that... And by the way, Fred, I don't think I shared this with you. Somebody in the organization mentioned to me that they were very relieved when Miami got Culpepper and not Breeze.
Oh, okay.
They were very confident.
Very good. Bill from Louisiana says, we have 11 picks. Running back was definitely a hole we needed to fill. Maybe Bing from USC might be a good choice sometime today.
I finally got the smile on Tom's face. Now you're talking Darnell Bing.
Pete Carroll does train good NFL players like Troy Polamalu. Forgive the spelling.
Who else?
I don't know.
Well, they mentioned one name. Listen, I watched the Rose Bowl over again last night. I saw a game where I don't remember a player having a better game than Vince Young, and I don't remember a player having a worse game than Darnell Bing had. I don't think he fits in this system at all. And
you should have knocked his lights out.
I hope they don't draft him. That's all I'm saying. I notice Ashton Yabody isn't going in the first round like everyone thought he would.
There's two picks in there, right?
I see people who have actually watched his tape now.
Seattle with the 31st pick is on the clock. They've got about, just under 3 minutes left. Michael writes in, so now that we've got our running back, what are some options in the second round? Receiver seems like the best choice, but is it Avant or Stovall, or are they each a reach, and should we go after a tweener defensive end?
I would say Stovall, Abdul Hodge, Daniel Bullocks. Those are the guys I think they would look at in the second round.
I don't know much about Bullocks, but I like the other two a lot.
Stovall is head and shoulders above Avant. I wouldn't even put him in the same class, really.
Andy writes in about the Bills.
Is that where he is? He's not on the show. He's writing in?
No, this is another Andy.
Oh.
About the Bills' second pick of McCargo. He thought McCargo was projected as a third rounder.
I heard all the last 2 weeks that he was going to be a late first round pick. He was really moving up the charts. I know a lot of people liked him. And watching tapes of NC State, he was in the backfield just as much as the other two guys were. He's a very underrated player on that defense, and I think that was an excellent pick by the Bills with the system they run. Now with him and Triplett there in the middle, and you bring Spikes back, you got Whitner at safety, all of a sudden the middle of that defense isn't soft like it was last year.
Zachary from Memphis, Tennessee. After drafting Maroney, what position do we need to try to address now? Who would fit the Patriot system? I don't believe we should draft a lot of DBs, maybe one, but I'm sure that Ellis and Asante are very good young DBs. They need to stay healthy, though. I know linebacker is a need. What player would be a steal for the Pats?
A steal,
I guess, yeah.
Well, we said that, Abdul Hodge is probably the guy inside.
I like the Abdul Hodge better than Chad Greenway.
Yeah, me too.
And Greenway went off board at what? Number 17.
Yeah.
And if the Patriots could be at 50, is it 52 that we picked, Fred?
What?
The Patriots' second round pick is at 52?
I don't know.
The,
I don't have
it. I got it right here. Oh, 52.
Sorry, I thought you
were. Yeah, if you can get Abdul
I thought
Hodge
you worked
52,
for the organization. We're getting the point from.
I'm reading emails here.
From Gary Jr. is giving us the point here for the next pick.
Okay.
Stewardship of the commissioner. What a great run he's had. This league, the highest level of any professional franchise sports,
well, they got one.
Sports history, and it's been under his leadership, and I give him credit because what he got done, Rich, at the end with the collective
by the way, we're up to 10 ACC players.
This could be Richard Marshall right here.
With the 31st choice in the 2006 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Kelly Jennings.
Oh, they went Jennings.
But you were right, though. Cornerback.
Miami finally gets a pick.
Yeah, me and Andy don't really like this guy that much.
Why?
We just think Marshall's the better cornerback, but, we're not player personnel people, so.
Let me take this to the Patriots' perspective. I think this is a good pick for the Patriots, and I'll tell you why. They take a cornerback, and that takes... possibly, I'm not saying definitely, but possibly takes one of the teams in the Ty Law sweepstakes out.
Yes.
But, and you know what else I just noticed? Am I nuts or is Jimmy Williams still on the board?
Jimmy Williams is still on the board.
Wow. Talk about stealing.
Unless I missed a pick here. We're on the Giants and I have every one of my slots filled in.
Talk about stealing. Someone is going to steal him.
I think I might blog that little thing.
I mean, he's got a bad attitude, but jeez. You're talking about stealing a player now.
All right, we're at the top of the hour. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to all of your many emails coming in here at webradio@patriots.com.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617 931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now. Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2! Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. This is PFW in progress.
Buck melanoma. Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth. My pimple. I'm Uncle Wart. Just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me. Or, melanoma head. Don't call me that.
PFW in progress.
Don't give me any crap, Maisie.
I'm telling you. You said crap.
There's nothing wrong with crap.
Oh, really? I thought that was a swear.
Now you're thinking of sh**.
With Fred Kirsch.
Forget that we were perfectly happy. So thank them for getting treated like sh**t every day.
I'm telling on that one.
Paul Perillo.
What did you have a few drinks this morning? Huh? I think you did, didn't you? In the field of local live home entertainment. Oh, my God!
You low-life, lying, four-flushing sack of sh**.
And Andy. And Andy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Or a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story. What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Andy Hart.
You have much more hair than you know from my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
Some guy named Tom.
Your girlfriend?
Friend? And yes, she is a girl.
Are you supposed to marry her or something?
The subject has come up, yes, but nothing serious.
Maybe if you got married, you'd stop being such an ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm just calling to say I miss you. No, I haven't been drinking. I've been thinking a lot about you. I think about those two little dimples on your buns. what do we call them? One was on the right was Lyndon, and the left was Johnson. No, that was your boobs. We did. Oh, your boobs were Minnie and Mickey. I remember that because of Disney World. And Felix. Felix is what we called your...
BFW in progress.
Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
All right, back here. Special edition, draft edition of BFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. So we've got about another hour of Patriots draft talk. And just to remind everyone, we'll be back tomorrow at noon until 3 o'clock. So, we'll be able to catch you up and talk about, analyze, dissect everything that happened over the night. Patriots with, four more picks? Or three more picks left today.
Three,
right?
Yeah. Three more today, yes.
Three more today, a second rounder and two third rounders. So there's still some picking for the Patriots to do. Four picks today. And as we know, number one is already in the books. That's Lawrence Maroney.
Pick a winner.
running back out of Minnesota. So the second running back off the board. And, of course, Reggie Bush was the first. The second pick of the day going over to New Orleans.
I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
Right. Okay.
But, Fred, I should mention, this draft is starting to show something about people with bad attitudes and work ethic, because Jimmy Williams and Lendale White, two top 15 picks a month or so ago, it's now the second round, and they haven't been selected yet.
Very interesting.
So maybe these guys ought to take things more seriously when pro days and, you know,
that's
attitude
really
issues come up, because teams are starting to, you know, after that Maurice Clarett fiasco, I think it raised red flags with a lot of teams.
You know, I like Pete Carroll. And I rooted for USC all year, but was there something about that program this year that these guys just maybe had a little false sense of security about themselves? A lot of these players?
I think there's some truth to that, and I think Frank Beamer runs a very similar program at Virginia Tech. So.
Well, I think Beamer, and you made the comment about a half hour ago, is definitely developing into one of those outlaw kind of Miami kind of the late 80s, you know, with Jimmy Johnson kind of programs. And there's no question. I mean, they have guy. I mean, it seems like every week you're finding out about a player who's, you know, has to be disciplined for one reason. You know, the Marcus Vick and the gag order they had to put on Williams that you talked about, Tom. And in USC, I don't think it's necessarily the same kind of outlaw kind of thing, but they're just so Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of guys on the sideline, you know. And you wonder, you know, wonder where the attention is. And I'm not making fun of Matt Leinart here for being too Hollywood, as you know, he's been criticized for. But it seems like there's a lot of players like that. You wonder what the focus is. Is it football, you know, or is it, you know, what I can get out of playing football?
Right. There's too many distractions. Zach from Memphis, Tennessee says, do you all believe that we draft a wide receiver or get one via free agency or trade? Is there any chance that Javon Walker could be in a Pats uniform next season, even though he may be too rich for the Pats blood? Or do you all believe that we can go through the season as we did in 2003 when our tight ends got a lot of catches when Deion went down?
Well, I think that ideally you're going to need some wide receivers. I do think Javon Walker's a possibility. You know, I think that he's a guy that has obvious talent. I think we can all agree on that. And you put him in with Deion Branch, and you have two solid receivers plus Troy Brown and Rishay Caldwell as complementary guys. I think that's good enough. You know, when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, I think that's plenty good enough. So, yeah, I think that you can get away with I think that could work, and I think you're going to have a hard time trying to do it without anybody else, Fred. If you're going to have Troy Brown and Caldwell be your second and third best receivers, I think you're going to have a hard time getting it all from Benjamin Watson and Daniel Graham.
Okay. Andy, where were you?
Andy, did you...
I was at my conference call.
I was going to ask you your first impression.
Cleveland just traded up in the second round. So
who did Houston take?
Houston took DeMeco Ryans, and Cleveland has just traded up with New Orleans, so there must, you know, Jimmy Williams is still on the board.
Really?
Yep.
I see Fatty is, too.
Yep, Fatty's on the board. But Cleveland did mention they wanted another running back.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Maybe they're going to take a shot at him.
You had a chance to talk with...
I did.
Yes.
Okay. Kool-Aid Maroney, that's one of his nicknames, was on the toilet when the Patriots called. Another interesting tidbit from draft day.
Did he let you know that?
Yeah, he did.
One or two?
He didn't really say.
Well, if he was on the toilet, can we assume that it was two?
I don't know if he said on the toilet or in the bathroom, and he could pee sitting down. I have no idea. I don't know much about him. Anyway, he's a Rams.
That was not called for.
He's a Rams fan.
I got bigger things to worry about. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have my first bowel movement. And
St. Louis gave the game away in Super Bowl 36.
Oh,
won't necessarily endear him to the local crowd.
Apparently, he hasn't talked much with Belichick yet.
No.
Where's he from originally?
St. Louis, or that general area. Went to Minnesota because... Well, first he was being recruited by Illinois. Went to Minnesota because he always wanted to play for a team that played against Ohio State, which I don't really understand. And then when Illinois didn't offer him a scholarship, he decided then he could play both of them. And I don't know. It was some clouded logic involved there.
No, I understand what he's saying.
He hated Ohio State and wanted to play for a Big Ten team.
And now Illinois, he hated them for not taking him.
Right.
So
I understand that part. Yeah. But starting out your college search based on who you're going to play twice, I don't understand. But and just, you know, he didn't expect to go as high as he did, expected to be maybe the third or fourth back taken, was a little bit surprised, had met Tom Brady, visited here, you know they showed some interest, other teams that showed interest, Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Baltimore, You know, he answered some of the questions about pass protection, says he doesn't have a problem sticking his nose in there, knows he has to work on technique, but doesn't feel like it's a physical issue, just learning to be able to do it at a better level. Another question, you know, raised was he runs a little high, his pad level, and he answered that the way he should by saying, I'm not a finished product. I'm not perfect. I need to get better at a lot of things. You know, said the right things in terms of competing with Corey Dillon, said competition brings out the best in everybody. He's a great player he can learn from, and competition will help both of them.
Well, that's interesting about the high running, Tom, because we talked about that.
Yeah.
How he runs a little high.
Right, like an Eric Dickerson kind of runner.
Thinks he can come in and contribute as a returner right away. And that's about it. I mean, he certainly wasn't really overly talkative, I wouldn't say.
Well, you know what? Good.
And he said...
The less talking you do, the better.
Played in a dome, so didn't play in the cold. What do you think about playing in the cold weather? I went to class in the cold weather every day, he said. So.
Minnesota, they play indoors?
Yeah, the Metrodome.
At the Metrodome?
Yeah. And then the press conference ended when somebody asked him if he... The Patriots last drafted Robert Edwards in the first round.
Oh,
are you
going to
play in any flag football games?
Oh,
he had no idea
on.
What the guy was talking about.
Jeez.
And everybody went click and walked away.
Who asked that?
No idea.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you really didn't know who it was?
I don't know who it is. We waited forever.
I was going to say, you're giving it up. You're telling us.
No, I have no idea who it was. And we waited forever for that conference call. It was supposed to be happening in a couple minutes, and 20 minutes went by.
I just automatically assumed that the food was
Kelly Jennings, Matthias Kiwanuka, Mangold to the Jets, Mercedes Lewis, Joseph Addai to the Colts. Can you imagine
the
that?
The Colts suck.
See, that stinks. Because he's going to have some success there. He won't look as bad as he is.
But he won't have.
You know what? I ripped Polian, and I wrote that unfortunately he's probably going to be somewhat productive because it's such a pass-happy offense that the running game is an afterthought.
Right. I don't think he's that good. But
I called him a jack-of-all-trades.
He'll kind of get... He'll get lost in the shuffle there of success.
Who the Browns traded up for?
Quell Jackson for
inside
Cleveland.
Linebacker. 3-4 type guy.
Quell Jackson.
Romeo likes him.
See, good I didn't fit. Think he'd fit well in this system because he kind of ran around blocks.
No, I know, but he's an inside guy with some experience in the 3-4. I guess they feel like he can get it done.
They traded up to get him.
All right, well,
Romeo knows a little something about defensive talent.
We're a few picks into round two now. Dave from England writes in, sorry if you already covered this as I missed the middle part of the show. With Dylan's contract being reconstructed recently, how much do the Pats have to pay him if he doesn't get going again next year? I'm happy with Maroney from the clips I've seen, and Bill doesn't rate people highly, players without pretty major ability. Also glad the round is going quickly this year as it ended 4 a.m. over here. For some reason, we get the draft a few minutes before you. Good pick for the Colts.
Huh. They get the draft earlier, and where is that, England, Europe?
England. So it's like a time warp across the Atlantic or
something? I don't know, but there seems to be a lot of trades going on because the Redskins are on the clock, and they're not supposed to be.
Okay. What do you got there, Gary?
Wait a minute. Chad Jackson's still out there.
Okay, we got more. Well, that'll be up on Patriots.com. We'll put it up on page. Andy just gave us.
I gave us a little rundown about him thinking the Rams gave the game away in the Super Bowl.
So,
do you guys? I have
home of
Brian Cox, I believe.
You're correct. Lawrence Maroney.
You guys want to go over Maroney's stats from each game last year? I've got quickly what he did.
Go ahead.
Do you care?
All right.
Ooh.
He's clearly motivated because one of his best games was Ohio State, right?
Well, at Tulsa.
Game, yeah.
At Tulsa, in a win, he had 203 yards. 9.7 yards per carry and 2 TDs. Against Colorado State, he had 133 yards, 5.1 average, 2 TDs. Against Florida Atlantic, 145 yards, 7.3 yards per carry, 2 TDs. Versus Purdue, he had 217 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, but no TDs.
They were, and I just should mention, they were ranked last in defense in college football last year.
Okay, he also had 5 catches for 59 yards in that game. Against Penn State in a loss, 44-14, he only had 16 attempts for 48 yards.
Well, he ain't going to run much on Penn State.
Against Michigan in a win, he had 36 carries, 129 yards, 3.6 yards a carry, and a TD. Versus Wisconsin, he had 262 yards, 43 attempts, 6.1 yards per carry, and a TD. And versus Ohio State, not bad, 25 carries, 127 yards, 5.1 yards per carry at a TD.
That's an outstanding defense there, yeah. too. I mean, we mentioned Penn State was tough to run against.
Right. Just,
I mean,
yeah, and then his final...
Two linebackers on Ohio State were drafted in the first round, and he had 120-plus yards.
Then I don't know what happened in these next two games in November.
Saints got a Jeff Fain.
But against Indiana in a win, he only had 15 attempts for 85 yards, 5.7 yards a carry at a TD. And against Iowa in a loss,
so no
he only
picks
had
involved?
7 carries for 10 yards, 1.4 yards per... So I got a feeling that something was going on in that Iowa game. And then he rounded out the season in a loss against Virginia, 34-31, with 26 carries, 109 yards, 4.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, that was the bowl game.
So
they traded Jeff Fain and they switched picks?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a ripoff. Jeff Fain's a first-round pick,
they
and he's been solid.
Replaced it with Charles Bentley.
No, I know, but I think that if you give him Jeff Fain, that should have been
right.
worth a second-round pick.
Right. No, Maroney, those are solid stats. He's
oh,
well,
I'm sorry. Cleveland moved. Okay, never mind. They switched spots in the second round and got Jeff Fain. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Never mind my ripoff thing.
Fred, have you settled in on this pick?
What's that?
Have you settled in on this pick?
Maroney?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
And?
I think that I'm a little surprised, I have to admit, that they picked a running back, period. But, you know, I guess... You know, they must have really felt highly about this guy.
Oh, another tidbit I need to throw out there that I've yet to confirm anyway, but I believe Josh McDaniels' brother is the defensive coordinator at Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Okay.
Oh, Dan,
I believe. Once again, they continue to draft guys only from places where they have a surefire connection.
That's right. You can add Minnesota to the you know, Iowa.
That'll be a much-used phrase.
You know, one of the previous emails was talking about Corey Dillon, Fred, and his salaries. Obviously, this would be the I'm just looking at some NFLPA stuff. I don't have the bonus to see exactly what the cap hits would be, but his base salary this year is $710,000, and then it goes to $2.5 million for 07, 08, and 09. So if he's not productive this year, I would have a feeling that he is probably not going to see a lot of those $2.5 million salaries.
Okay. It would be interesting to see, hear, or know exactly what Belichick said.
The Redskins gave up a boatload.
Redskins with the Jets. Wow.
Yeah. Second rounder next year, too?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Wendale White's going to go? That's what Justin wants to know.
Fat camp?
At this point, I don't really know.
Is it me, or did he look even fatter on TV? I know the camera has...
Where's my snack pack?
I mean, that's an ugly situation.
How many cameras were on?
I don't know, Fred.
Well, the Redskins traded up to get someone. It's probably not Chad Jackson because they signed all those receivers, right?
Yeah, they could cut some. They've been known to sign and cut guys before.
You surprised that Jackson is...
Yes and no, because yeah. I think he's a good, not great player. He just happened to be at the top of the wide receiver class.
But Santonio Holmes already went.
Right? Now, what about...
Doesn't mean it was the right thing.
Listen to this here, Andy. After the Redskins, you got Green Bay and Denver. Now, people were projecting Chad Jackson to Denver at 15.
Right.
Can you imagine if they get him at 37?
Or Lendale White.
Rocky McIntosh.
Rocky
they
McIntosh.
Moved up to get Rocky McIntosh. Well, they really don't know what they're doing over there, do they? I mean, they traded a boatload for Rocky McIntosh. Give me a break.
He said he's good. At the combine, he said he was as good as Vilma, basically.
Ron writes in, the way the draft is going, do you think the lesser teams are going to gain field and squeeze more wins in because of this draft? Do you think the Patriots will have a tougher time this year in their conference, or can we take a breather and look forward to gaining another conference championship?
Paul, why don't you handle that one?
It's a little early to know what the gains are by the other teams, but...
I think the Patriots are in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think that the, the draft isn't even, begun here. I mean, we're one round
10
in.
10 picks to go.
But I don't see any major upgrades across the board on some of the teams. I mean...
Now, are we looking at the AFC East here?
Well, I'm looking at the AFC in general. I mean, Pittsburgh is always going to be solid. You know that. They're going to be just like the Patriots. They're not going to lose a tremendous amount. They're not going to gain it. They're always going to be solid. The Colts lost a big part of their offense in James. I think they'll still be very good. Don't get me wrong. Denver, I don't know what it is about Denver. I never thought they were as good as their record was last year, but they proved me wrong.
Who's the quarterback? There's going to be like two or three teams
I didn't think their defense was that good, but those young defensive backs played a lot better than I thought they would.
Right. There's going to be a couple teams that...
Maybe a Cleveland.
There's not really a team you point to that say put themselves over the top. But Denver would have been a team on that if you said, wow, I really like what they did, they've taken that next step to AFC Championship Super Bowl level. I mean, is there a team, like you said, the Steelers... added a nice pick to the offense that, you know, at receiver, but is that really going to change much for them? No, they're the same kind of team they were. They're going to be a good team. Who else is out there?
I'll tell you what. I think things might be shifting a little bit because I'm thinking the NFC might be a little stronger than the AFC. I'm going through my head, and I'm thinking San Diego's going down.
San Diego, don't forget, you know, as good as the team was last year, now they who knows?
Yeah, rookie quarterback.
Right, who knows if Rivers can do it.
Yeah, now, the GM might be, was trying to run a coach out of town.
He might be like Carson Palmer, and he might be a good player right away after sitting a little while. Palmer was pretty good immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking a little earlier, Paul, remember about the Denver game, how the running...
Yes.
The
John Lynch.
Yeah, Jarek in Toronto says we didn't have a chance to run against Denver in the playoffs because of the turnovers.
Why not?
The only reason why
John Lynch said.
Would have running the game was the absence of Copen, which is also the main reason why Brady had rushes like Lynch and others in his face the whole first half. Running game was not why the Pats lost the playoff game in Denver.
Well, listen, we're going to go with what John Lynch said.
People need to listen, okay?
Right.
The reason they lost the game was because the Denver defense blitzed the crap out of the Patriots' offense and they couldn't handle it. The reason the Denver defense blitzed the crap out of the Patriots' offense is because John Lynch said they had no respect for the Patriots' running game and they knew they could blitz wildly without having any consequences.
And that blitz caused a turnover that Champ Bailey returned for... 99 yards or whatever.
And I'm not,
that's what
happened. I'm not just sitting here saying that what the players say and what the coaches say is gospel, okay? But they know a lot more than we do.
Right.
And if John Lynch says that that's why the game plan was what it was, I believe him. They didn't have any whatsoever. They didn't have any respect or fear of Corey Dillon in the Patriots running game. I said it might have been because of the offensive line. It might have been because of injuries. But for whatever reason, John Lynch said, we knew they couldn't run the ball with Corey Dillon, so we just blitzed.
Yeah, and stop with the turnovers, because Raider fans will just call up and say, what about the tuck rule? And then Patriot fans will say,
but not only that, the turnovers in that game happened late in the first half.
Right.
There was a whole half of no offensive production before the turnovers, am I right? The turnovers happened in the last 2 minutes of the half.
Well, that bad call against Samuel, that wasn't a turnover.
That was after a turnover.
I know.
That was in the last 2 minutes of the half. And I agree, it was a terrible call, Fred.
Paul, you have moles in Seattle?
I do.
Interesting.
Think about what I did.
No, I know.
Okay.
I knew immediately when I read it what it was.
Okay.
You also said hell on the website. I didn't think
yes,
you were able
I
to
did.
Say that.
I did. Well, why the hell can we say hell?
How the hell am I supposed to talk about hell if I can't say hell?
Tim from New York City, for one, I love the Colts pick of a die. I'm all for the Colts making dumb choices every round.
Oh, okay. I just don't like a die. I don't like him.
None of us do.
But it's not as dumb for them because he's going to be better he's going to be brought up. Rising tide lifts all boats.
I wrote that because of that. I fear that he's going to go out and have a productive year. Because I mean, I saw Dominic Rhodes have a productive year when they were 6-10 or 5-11 a couple years ago.
On a more serious note, I think the Maroney pick is pretty sound. Like with anything, though, we'll have to see how things play out. I'm curious how Maroney's contributions may affect Kevin Falk's role in the team, since it seems Maroney can do a lot of the same things, potentially better. Well, one thing he can't do, this is just me talking, is the blitz pickup right now, anyway. Lastly, I think the draft blog section of the website is all messed up right now. All the blogs have disappeared since Tom said he was posting to bash on the Mercedes Lewis pick. Check it out. Make sure that the blog section is uploading.
It's
properly.
It's fine on mine, and
it's fine on mine too. I think the last two or three that I did are up there.
Yeah, it hasn't worked as well as we hoped. Put it mildly.
We're having some issues. There's no question.
But this may be a feature you may not see again next year.
At 5 p.m., I think was the last post that should be up there.
Yeah, it's up there. That's you talking about how you're so worldly and have moles in Seattle.
Oh, shut up. It's a blog.
So ridiculous.
V writes in, first off, I think the Maroney pick was a smart pick. The Pats needed insurance at the running back position, and I believe that Maroney is a better fit for the Pats system than Williams, being a bigger running back with a slashing style rather than a juking style. I thought juking and slashing were the kind of the same thing.
Nah.
Not really.
No,
he's got it right. Maroney's a slasher and Williams is a juker.
Some people I've discussed with on the message board.
And Costanza's a chucker.
Yeah. Some people I've discussed with from the message board.
I
got
to think that Green Bay is being... Oh, the Patriots are on the clock.
The Patriots have made a trade. This is Richard Marshall?
Gary Jr. is on the game.
This is big news. Up to 36.
Richard Marshall?
36, 2 minutes to go.
Oh, okay.
Why are you shushing me?
No, I thought Tagliabue was talking. He's being interviewed by Rich Eisen.
2 minutes to go. Okay, Richard Marshall could be a possibility.
That's big news. The Patriots have traded.
Chad Jackson.
Who did they trade
with? Well, I was thinking Green Bay was going to take
Chad Jackson's value goes up every
spot lower.
Wait a minute. No, they traded with Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
And
I just said I would have thought that Green Bay would have been interested in Chad Jackson. But
maybe not.
Clearly Denver.
But what if they... Now, Javon Walker couldn't be
Chad Jackson. I like the pick. Who's that? Chad Jackson.
That's who it is.
Wow.
This would be the ultimate.
Hey, that's the jerk from the combine right there.
That would be the most.
No offense to.
They had to have taken him.
Yep.
They
it
had
looks
to
like
have
the
taken
Patriots
him.
Have taken Chad Jackson with the 36th pick, trading with Green Bay.
Bam,
this is the ultimate for me, Andy.
Boy,
not only
they took a running back in the first round, they traded up early in the second to take a wide receiver.
His mother's dancing. She's falling out.
That Green Bay organization.
Do you not remember the guy I was just talking
about?
Does
this have anything to do with Javon Walker, too, or no?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You get Chad Jackson and Javon Walker? No?
I don't know how that would work.
No.
you have to give up. You have a lot of picks. You'd have, I mean, certainly the price would be higher that you'd have to pay.
I have no idea.
What if you give a first round next year?
Oh, I don't want to be doing that.
No,
I don't want to be doing that either.
Well, it's interesting. Let's hear this podium.
The biggest challenge was that...
Oh, wrong one.
Chad Jackson.
All right, so the Patriots have selected Chad Jackson.
That wire in the wrong one.
Yeah, what's going on with NFL Network?
By the way, Tom, your NFL Network superiority
just
took a hit.
They just blew it.
I got to tell you, Tom, I think both of them stink.
Yeah, you're right.
They have highs and lows each, and
it's
kind of the same.
Before every interview, they should tell the guy, we
might be excited.
But you got to love it. Who did they just trade in front of? The Broncos, who are probably sitting there eyeing Chad Jackson.
Broncos take Lendale White.
But wouldn't you think Chad Jackson, maybe they just felt like the Packers need anything, because... They were hell-bent on, before they traded Walker, they needed a wide receiver back. So
and
wouldn't Merrill Chad Jackson have made sense for Green
Merrill
Bay?
Merrill Hodge said Green Bay should take Chad Jackson with the fifth pick.
Oh, that's right.
So they didn't even want him in the second round.
Yeah, I just think, by the way, this whole thing is kind of what I talked about. The draft is a very uninteresting thing to cover on TV for 10 hours.
Right.
But it's just hard to have.
You guys are missing
stuff.
A good thing for us, though. They must have traded away a lot of picks, so now we won't have 11 players.
Oh, there's no question about that. That's no question.
I got to tell you, this is a good pick.
This is a phenomenal pick.
This
second
pick
round
got better every time he dropped, because he wasn't worthy of a top 15, top 20 pick.
Andy, now
you
I'm
get
in
him
love.
In the mid-30s.
Now I'm in love with your guy.
Well, see, I just like him both ways,
at
but I like him more here.
At 36, I love him. At
I like
21,
his size,
I didn't
I like
love
speeds,
him as much.
I like
this
hands.
Is just amazing. The Patriots have taken a running back and a wide receiver.
No, they don't do that. I heard Larry Johnson on EI say they don't do that.
The Patriots will never do that.
You know why? Because they don't have any running backs or receivers.
Larry Johnson on EDI.
You're calling guys out. I've just been saying people say.
He said it in public. He shouldn't be ashamed of it. It's what he believes.
Well, that's huge. Very interesting.
That's a good pick. I like that pick a lot.
All I can say is this is destined to be the worst draft of the Belichick-Pioli era.
Because we like it.
I can't be possibly any more excited about the two guys we picked.
Yeah.
First round pick stinks.
Well, you know, if we weren't coming back at noon.
I don't like it.
If we weren't coming back at noon tomorrow, I'd say we'd have to extend this edition. But since we are...
We have a half hour to go.
No, we have a half hour.
Saying, okay.
I'm just saying, there's going to be a lot of reaction to this, I'm sure.
Can we get the... Do you have the... Anyone trade?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'll tell you right now, though.
What is that on? The draft tracker thing?
No, it'll show it right up here. But, man, AFC team's got to be so pissed off at Green Bay right now for letting New England sneak up there and get a first-round talent in the second round like that.
Unfortunately, if we had the ESPN feed, we probably could have found out what the trade was, too. But you know, we had the NFL Network going.
So the Patriots jumped.
We had the wire in the wrong TV.
The Patriots jumped
because
from
we listened to Bill.
To 36.
Yeah, they gave up a lot for this, I bet.
That's significant.
Who knows what they did?
Well, we know that they had the 52nd pick.
Yeah.
And Green Bay had the 36th pick.
How do we know it's just that pick, though?
I'm just saying,
what they did every other pick.
I know they didn't swap spaces, and Green Bay said, okay.
You never know.
My guess is a third and maybe a fifth, too.
Sounds good to me.
Tom, I'm thinking even more.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds even better to me.
I didn't bring my draft value chart. We got the PSW?
It may be picks next year.
Oh, okay.
It could be picks next year.
All I know, if we get from 11 to 8 with this trade, I'm happy.
This is a joke. Why do we the official website?
Patriot fans must be in heaven right now.
We need to get the trade.
Eight.
Chad Jackson.
Did you go on the draft tracker?
I'm on the draft tracker.
You always know it's a good draft when you're sitting there in the first round talking about guys and you mention someone, and then later on in the draft you get that guy, too, along with the another guy they drafted.
Let's see. What's that?
I was just going to ask if Gary could maybe try to go get the trade for us from a PR rep in the other room.
Okay.
To update us.
Here it is, right here.
We got the trade?
They just raped him. They raped him.
52 and 75.
That's it?
They raped him.
Oh my goodness!
So, you know what? Belichick found the weak link. He knew that a bunch of idiots were running the Green Bay organization, and he raped them. He absolutely raped them.
You know what? You're right.
That's what he did. He found the weak link.
Oh, Chad Jackson.
Yeah, I agree with Tom.
I mean, check. I mean, check for bruises on the Green Bay Packers.
Was that Gary or Gary Jr.? Oh, okay.
That
is a raping.
That's the first time in a long time I can say the Patriots actually got a steal in the draft. Usually it's all these other teams.
And they're banking on a couple Florida wide receivers.
So they got the
Chad Jackson,
they
Richey
got the 36
Caldwell.
Pick.
Got to step up.
Let's repeat this. They got the 36. If I could repeat it, I would.
All they did was swap second round picks and gave them a third.
And they gave them a third. And they have two thirds already anyway.
What was the pick? It was
32 and 75, 36.
That was the one they got.
Yes.
So they got they gave up 595 points according to the Jimmy Johnson chart and got 540 points.
The Packers got 540 from the Patriots.
Yeah, 595. They got 52, 380, and 75, 215. Quick math is 595.
215.
Okay.
Right. Well, for 540, 36.
And 36 is only worth 540. So
the Packers raped the Patriots.
It's not quite the raping that you guys were making out to.
Well, by the points.
For me,
what is 55 points worth? What kind of a pick is that? The difference.
55 points. Worth,
I don't know who's playing next week, but take the points.
Worth about late fourth rounder, 120.
Okay, so it's pretty valuable. 55 points is pretty valuable based on the Jimmy Johnson chart.
Right.
Okay.
I still think they raped him.
I just think it was a trade. I don't think they got raped, but I don't think it was a raping.
It clearly wasn't a raping based on the chart.
Based on the chart.
I mean,
what do your eyes tell you?
My eyes told me that the reason why I opened the chart is that it wasn't a raping. And before I opened my big mouth, I wanted to have something to back it up. My gut is I'm excited as hell as they got Chad Jackson.
It's a good trade.
Yeah.
You had extra picks and you got first round talent in the second round.
But if you had to give up too much for him, and, you know, history will tell us if they gave up too much for him.
I would
have
at least asked for one of the six round picks, too.
Well, you could ask for more according to the chart.
I don't think Tom was saying that the Patriots got raped.
No, he was saying the Patriots raped Green Bay.
That's not what the chart tells us.
I still think they raped him.
That's fine, and they very well may have. If Chad Jackson's in the Pro Bowl in 3 years, it's a... Porked?
Mugged.
Yeah, there's no question we're going to get some emails about that.
Well, I'm sure they'll all be targeted at me like I was the only one who said it.
All right, well, that's interesting. A running back and a wide receiver.
I don't think anybody
offense cares.
They're just
Tom Brady's doing cartwheels down his wherever he is right now. So finally, some weapons.
So now we got to get the emails. What about the defense?
Anthony.
V writes in, first off, I think the Maroney pick was a smart pick. The Pats needed insurance at the running back position, and I believe that Maroney's a better fit for the Pats. So we already talked about this, didn't we? We talked about juking and slashing.
Yeah,
I didn't finish. Some people I've discussed with on the message board have said Maroney might be the Pats' next Curtis Martin. Who do you anticipate the Pats will go for now? Well, we know they went for Chad Jackson. Do you think they will package their second and third round to target a particular guy?
Yeah, Chad Jackson.
We'll go with Chad Jackson.
Not only that, he says, I like Richard Marshall and Chad Jackson. So V wins the award for best email because this came in at 4:59.
Of course, you had helped him out a little by reading it.
Andy, we've got so many emails.
We do have a lot of emails. But he would have looked that much better had you read that 15 minutes ago.
He sent that a clear half hour before this happened. So V wins the award for best email so far.
I love the email, and I like Chad Jackson. Andy loved Chad Jackson. Andy talked about Chad Jackson. I just didn't think he was worth the 21st pick. Not that I didn't think he was a good player.
And that's what I was saying earlier.
And I think at 36, I love the pick.
I love him. Playmaker. He will make plays for this team. He has big playability and
Broncos just got Javon Walker
for the 37th pick in the draft.
So that's
second round
what they
pick
were
for
up
Javon
to.
Walker. That's why they didn't need Chad Jackson. They got Javon Walker.
Oh.
Although one would ask, why did the Packers not
Wait,
need
so
him
now,
a
so now the
draft. Now is it such a rate?
Wait.
Problem is, Packers don't have a wide receiver.
Now
they could have traded Javon Walker and got Chad Jackson. Now they don't have Javon Walker or Chad Jackson. Right.
Fred, we're going to need to explain this to you again.
Please don't use that word, first of all.
The Packers don't know what they're doing.
According to the neutral draft value chart that Jimmy Johnson put together, the Patriots did not get an edge
in
this.
I'm talking to Tom.
You just said, now is it a raping?
Right, because Tom said it was, and I agree.
So what would change it?
Well, clearly Green Bay had something in mind. They wanted
what, to have no wide receivers?
Yes.
Brett Favre is retiring as we speak because he's got nobody to throw the freaking ball to.
I thought maybe they'd get Ashley Lalee in return. They just traded him for a second-round pick.
They lost two potential wide receivers.
But now they've got
no wide receivers.
They've got another second-round pick.
Wait a minute. So why is Atlanta on the clock? So the Packers traded again?
They must have.
Yeah, because they were up a second ago. They were on that clock.
See, I'm telling you,
they're up
to something.
Ted Thompson is just, he's running around, danger, danger.
He's doing the anti-Ditka. He wants to be here all day.
By the way, this is one of those picks. It started out San Francisco, went through Denver,
Let's go to the podium.
It was Denver from San Francisco to Green Bay, and now Atlanta.
Jimmy Williams, defensive back, Virginia Tech. That's a good pick.
Good pick for Atlanta.
Nice.
Virginia Tech guys.
Yep.
Boy, are they going to have fun with Chad Johnson.
Boy, do I wish I worked for Falcons Football Weekly.
D'Angelo's on NFL Network, too. So.
Is he?
Yeah, he'll probably be on tonight.
All right, now they got a bunch of has-beens.
You know what? What would be better than working for Falcons Football Weekly? You wouldn't necessarily have to worry about writing during the playoffs.
Paul, you know what would be better?
But you could fill up a notebook and hurry.
Working for Patriots Football Weekly.
Oh, shut up. I'm being a...
You know what would be better? Working for Packers Football Weekly, because you could rip the heck out of them.
Well, I'll be interested to see what the fans say, because every year it's what wide receiver, running backs.
Well, the problem is they're going with
They finally got what they wanted.
Right, and the players are going to all end up stinking. Just to show the fans they know nothing.
Which one?
People like me. I had the audacity to want Chad Jackson. He's probably going to stink.
Chris agrees with you,
though. Did you hear when I said that?
No.
About the draft? I said this is destined to be the worst draft of the Belichick-Peele era. Yeah, you
agree.
Yeah, because it was after the trade. Because I agree with the picks, which means no way it's going to pan out.
I only like one of them.
Chris from Charlotte, North Carolina, says, what a steal about Chad Jackson. They only had to deal the 52nd and 75 in the third for Chad Jackson. The Pats still get to keep their 86.
See, that's the way I think of it. For Chad Jackson, it feels like a steal.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Not for value of said pick 36.
Right, so at the end of the day, someday you'll look back and say, man, the Patriots got a steal.
Right,
that's
what I'm saying. Right. Like, that's how you're going to look at it.
Right.
But I think that all depends on what Green Bay gets. That's why I said history will tell you.
But
it's
apparently they're not
going to
get anything, Paul. They just keep trading away.
It's the same theory I was using with the number 2 pick. Don't come to me and tell me what that little chart says. Chart says Reggie Bush is on the board, and I think Reggie Bush is better than a general number 2 pick. So I use the same philosophy I look at the player.
I don't understand.
I think Reggie Bush was the number 1 pick in the draft, in any draft.
Okay.
Or a lot of drafts.
Okay, so
therefore,
what happened
if I'm the New Orleans Saints and you want to come trade, you're coming to me. You want the number 2 pick. You're the New York Jets. You want Reggie Bush? Don't say, well, I fulfilled the numbers on the little chart. I say, no, Reggie Bush is on here. He's worth more than that.
Okay, so you think it was okay that the Patriots maybe paid more than they maybe had to because they got Chad Jackson?
Right.
So in other words, Green Bay said, don't tell me about the value of the pick, but you're getting Chad Jackson.
You want Chad
Jackson.
Better than this is what we want.
He's better than the fourth pick of the second round.
Right.
And Bill says, they're right.
Okay. I don't think they look at it that way. But
I'm not saying all this dialogue takes place,
right,
but,
right.
I mean, inside Ernie Adams' head somewhere, all these conversions are being made.
I think that the Falcons...
I'm just excited that there's not been one player taken that I didn't know yet.
I think the Falcons did a tremendous job for getting John Abraham going out of the first round, then getting a first trading up, and then getting a first-round talent like a Jimmy Williams. Great job by the Falcons.
Let's give him Ted Sarandis round of applause.
Sounds like a blog.
All right, help me try to figure out, though, what Green Bay's up to. They make this
trade
with the Patriots, okay? Then they give away Javon Walker to Denver. What's Green Bay eventually going to do?
They get so irritated with Brett Favre holding them hostage, then deciding to come back 1 year. They're going to stick it to him by putting no talent around him, making the last year of his career living hell, and he's going to stink.
But seriously, what are they?
Oh, it's okay. When you make up these absurd scenarios, I can't.
Are you serious?
Sort of.
Okay.
Oh, in other words, you're serious?
Were you serious
about?
When you wanted to kidnap a kicker's
right.
wife?
Right.
Let me ask
and
you
then
something.
Blame Andy for
Fred
it?
Kirk,
we're,
when Fred Kirk
no,
wanted
I,
to kidnap
no,
a kicker's wife?
I was not.
Listen,
okay.
I
think
are you? I have an argument here. I have an argument here.
With yourself?
Argument.
The reason why I'm telling you that they stole Chad Jackson is because those idiot Redskins, the pick before, gave up like a third, a fifth, and a two
right.
next year to get Rocky McIntosh, the pick before. So apparently they were like 790 points over the...
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, the value of these picks in this area of this particular draft are higher than normal.
Well, in
based on those two trades, because you got to figure Washington. I'm not looking up all the values of
right.
all those Washington picks.
It was
but,
above.
But you got to guess that that was above.
But that's what we've heard, because we heard
there
were
a lot of guys from 40.
X number of...
Right.
Justin
oh, no, I was
wants
going
to
the
know,
other way. After
Justin wants to know if the Patriots have to register
right.
it was a whole
sex
group.
Now.
Right. So
I had heard from 15 to 40, there's a lot of good players.
So if you register 15 to 40 and you're trying to trade, somebody goes, well, he's worth the 15th pick. Well, the other side goes, well, maybe he's worth the 40th
That's
pick.
What I'm saying. The value of this
right,
pick,
is
theoretically, great. Might be bigger.
And it just shows that you can't use some stupid chart on a piece of paper in no. a vacuum and say, well, this is the trade.
And there's no way that Bill Belichick is going to do that.
No. Because Ernie Adams is smarter than that.
He doesn't operate that way.
Tom, Justin wants to know if the Patriots have to register as a sex offender now.
Well, they found the weak link. I got to give Belichick and Pioli credit.
We're going to get in trouble.
They sat there, they found the weak link, and they went after it. That's how you do it.
Let's see. Packers have just traded their center.
I don't know who their center
right?
is. Who's their center?
I don't know who the center
is. No, their center is already signed with somebody else.
Gray Rugemer, wasn't it last year?
Flanagan.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan, is that his name?
Yeah, he signed with somebody. I can't remember.
It's not Mike Flanagan.
I think
that's a
he's
pitcher.
Joking because with the whole Favre
from UMass.
You know,
oh.
the GM?
Oh, no, he's fine.
Oh, hey, Lendale White made himself some money in this draft from being out of shape, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. There. Let's see.
Len Whale White.
Let's see, Craig says we should take a little time to hail Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli for an amazing first two rounds.
We're not going to do that.
No,
we already said it was a good draft.
You got the wrong crowd here.
I'm
These
not
guys
gonna,
will never get credit.
I'll tell you,
they went
1-for-2.
Fred, you see,
I'm not talking to you, Tom. Tom, you're okay. You're omitted from that statement.
They went 1-for-2, Fred.
Paul is in love with this draft, I'll
okay.
have to admit.
Thank you, Fred.
Paul is in love with this draft.
Andy had to find something
Which
wrong
really
with the first
scares
day.
Me.
Fred, what did they
it
do?
It really scares
Fred, it's
me.
Very, it's very easy. I fall in love very easy.
Very easy. Heroes.
Wait
hell
this
draft makes
Michigan.
Up for the Patriots not taking David Terrell as far as
Wait
Paul
a minute. I just want to point something out. Tom Casale said some interesting things to me out when the press conference.
What
were your thoughts on Lawrence Maroney sitting in the front row in front of Bill Belichick?
I thought it was a great pick.
You're so
did you read? Did you read his blog?
No.
Thomas Howard to Oakland.
Oh, boy.
You were lying your ass off.
All right. Jeremy from Newmarket, New Hampshire. So far, I love this draft. Great picks. I hope Maroney can make the step up to a starting running back in a few years behind Dylan. Chad Jackson is an excellent pick as well. Next up, defense.
Yeah.
Also, unlike most, I'd like to see the Patriots draft a kicker.
I think we're going to get our boy Oliver Hoyt at middle linebacker, to be honest with you.
When?
Sometime in the middle rounds.
Next pick?
But, no.
What is the next pick for the Patriots? What number?
I think it'll be in the middle rounds.
We pick at 86 is our next pick.
That's like 40-something.
Hey, don't rule out us making another trade.
Oh, I'm not ruling anything out.
So right now we're down from 11 to 9, correct? We traded two. No.
No, we've got 10.
We only lost one pick.
Only net lost
we
one
only
pick.
We only lost one pick. We lost the 75th pick. So
Jeff,
we're down to 10.
Jeff's, oh, God, do you see the shirt that Merrill Hodge is wearing?
That's bad.
My goodness.
What did you think of Bill Belichick's appearance?
His tie.
A lot of people ripping him.
Yeah, he's clearly.
Gary, we need you. You're a metrosexual.
Why does he need
you
to be ripped? Because he had a bad tie on.
Gary is a metrosexual.
I kind of liked the tie.
I didn't like the tie.
But I didn't like the tie shirt combo.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. Too bright.
I didn't like the tie.
Jeff's writing in from Hawaii. He says, all I want to say is you guys are definitely more interesting than ESPN. I literally fell asleep during the draft. And I'm very sorry I didn't tune you guys in until the second round.
Shame on you.
It won't happen again. Oh, by the way, what the hell was Chris Berman doing blabbing his guess about the pick 2 seconds before every Tagliabue announcement?
What?
It was the most annoying thing in the history of television. What a complete disaster.
Are you trying to tell me Chris Berman made himself the show?
What?
Yeah, I can't.
Rather than the draft itself?
I can't buy that.
Brady's feeling like
what
Big
in the hell
Pappy.
Is that on the TV right now?
What?
That's Vince Young's throwing motion and Carson Palmer.
Oh, great. He doesn't
motion.
Throw like Carson Palmer, so he
but
won't be good.
To be honest, to be fair to the emailer, we haven't listened to Chris Berman all day because, quite frankly, we can't stand him.
What kind of locker room do they have now in New England?
And we're more entertaining, so we listen to each other.
Jarek in Toronto again. This Chad has upside and will stretch the field for our running game and tight ends. Tremendous value pick. Much better than Stovall. Wish it was September already.
I agree. I think that's but that just added excitement to the offense.
Absolutely.
Competition at wide receiver, a guy who can be a legitimate number two wide receiver for them.
Winston Justice.
To where?
To
the
Eagles.
Eagles. They traded.
Hey, I said that, except I said it when they were on the clock the first
yeah.
time.
let's see. Justin in Alaska. Well, I'm watching both networks. First, shame on both for not being in HD. Second, this
neither
is...
Neither network is in HD for this?
I don't know. I
that's
don't
an embarrassment. I agree with you, Justin.
This is NFL Network's first time covering the draft, and Tom, I agree with you. They seem to be focusing a little more on the football angle over the
a
fans
little, but I'm not
entertainment
sure enough.
Angle, which I appreciate. On a side note, cheers for Michael Irvin. As of this email, he has only mispronounced White Devil once.
Does you?
White Devil?
White Devil, what does that mean?
I have no idea.
Dolls.
They have HD in Alaska? I didn't know that.
Sure they do.
It's funny because a lot of the good teams are now moving up with these bad teams to take the players that they might have taken around
correct.
Earlier.
I don't know for sure how this works, but would it be difficult to do an HD production when you're dealing with all these highlights that you're showing?
Well, yeah,
showing
bump them in like they do for the
so I think
sports
that would
center.
Be, I think that would be annoying.
Maybe. Could yes. be. Or you leave this crap up and just put the highlight in the little box.
See,
by this crap, I'm talking about
exactly.
the
on-the-clock
graphic, the thing underneath that says adjustments Vince Young will need to make in order to be the greatest player ever, Arizona Cardinals, whole scroll.
I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you where Lendale White's going to go. 49 Dallas Cowboys. I'm just telling you.
I know, you're just telling me, and you're always right, except when you're wrong.
I was right when you weren't here on something. It was my fault.
I got something, Nick, I forgot what it was.
Nick Mangold. I was right on Nick Mangold.
He nailed Nick Mangold.
The Jets with a real flashy draft, huh?
Good pick, though. You get it? I mean,
solid
they have,
pick,
but they lost two major parts of their offensive line in Mawai and Fabini, and they replaced them.
And they don't have a quarterback.
But they don't
have
a lot of stuff.
Back.
It's the
right.
worst roster in football.
I know.
But they have drafted 15 starters.
If we're gonna, we can't criticize the Jets if we like what the Patriots did last year when they needed help on the offensive line.
Are we comparing the same thing?
And they drafted.
Are we comparing a Super Bowl team that replaced the guy they lost through free agency to a team that stinks?
No, you start that in the middle.
You start in the middle.
Some of us didn't like what the Patriots did.
Oh, you're not strong up the middle. Blah blah blah.
But you got to do it in. You know?
Yeah, Reggie Bush.
Maybe you know. Maybe now.
A better team
maybe
in
the
anyway.
Patriots are at the position now where they can go after those skilled players.
Calm down. Matt Millen's on the clock here. Hang on a second.
Oh, jeez.
This could be entertaining.
Daniel Bullock. See, a good pick.
Oh, I love. I like what
nice
they're
pick.
Doing in Detroit now, baby.
All right,
going defense. Ernie Sims.
Oh, they're going to be good.
Rodriguez writes,
"The
Patriot Nation thrives in Houston. The Maroney pick is not bad. In what round do you guys think we should address our often injured offensive line? I feel it should be in the third or fourth. That's if there's anybody worth spending a third and fourth round pick for. Also, could we see a kicker picked in the late rounds?"
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? The kid from Memphis?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the guy they
lost. Gostkowski, but the T is silent or the K, according to Brian Lowe.
Jason also has an offensive line question.
Gene,
he said he only started listening to the show late last season, and he loves it. Well, thank you. And he's from Cold Lake, Canada. "After watching almost every quarter of every game last year, I feel that the Patriots' biggest problem of all was the offensive line. They were unable to open holes for running backs or give Brady time to avoid taking the big hits that he took last year. I hadn't seen him, Brady, take as much punishment in all his prior seasons combined as he did last year. I don't feel that Dylan is too old or washed up yet. I think the defenders were in the backfield more times than not before he had a chance to make any plays. Bottom line is, I'm very concerned about the offensive line with the injuries that they're coming off of and the loss of free agent linemen." His name escapes me at the moment.
Tom Ashworth.
"I still feel that this is the biggest question mark for the next season. Is not the defense, not the second receiver, and not Corey Dillon. Am I way out in left field on this one?"
No, I do not think you're way out in left field because if...
Well, then if you agree, then they shouldn't have taken Maroney in a wide receiver. They should
I can like lots of picks. That's the beauty of me. I can like lots of things.
But I think
that's
that's the beauty of Andy Hart.
Or in your case,
he covers
you can
all angles.
Lots of things.
But right. I think his point is he's more worried about offensive line.
There are questions on the offensive line, but there's been questions on the offensive line for 5 years.
Right.
So I don't think they necessarily place the value on it that I might.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that they lost because of the offense. I don't think the offensive line was in good shape end of last year. I just don't think that was the reason that a lot of other people do.
I've seen them
plug guys in before and get away with it. Same guys that were plugged in this time. Ashworth, Hochstein, Neal. It was the same players that were getting plugged in. I don't think that was the problem.
You selected two offensive linemen high in last year's draft. How many times are you going to keep selecting? Right. You have Matt Light. You have Dane Coleman.
First two picks,
healthy.
Right? First two picks last year were offensive linemen.
So you've invested in that position, a position at which they've been able to plug guys in. That's kind of been their philosophy.
Yeah, we got to remember, a lot of it was injuries. Copen was injured. Matt Light was injured.
Right.
You know,
and still could be.
Right.
I mean, we have our doubts about
Copen.
Whether both of them
no,
will be
Light
ready.
No, Light says he's fine.
Oh, okay.
He says he's fine.
The Deuce, Latui,
good player.
Arizona.
Oh, Arizona, another good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals on the rise. I like what they're doing in the land of
the
never-setting sun or whatever.
Their new stadium.
I didn't like the stadium.
New quarterback. That's going to be good for them.
You like that stadium, Fred?
I haven't never seen it. It's not open yet.
I thought
you could look at pictures
Bears,
and video.
Bears' first pick of the day, Sonoris Moss still on the board.
Him.
Yep.
Ty and Rhonda in Poland Spring. I think the picks of the backs after the Pats pick really shows that Bill's nice foresight to realize when one was picked it would be more off the board in short order. It's almost like the Pats pick bumped up the running back's overall value related to the draft. Also, isn't outside linebacker Ryan still on the board? Maybe see the Pats move to get him. Well, when he
he sent
this at 5:07, so
he got us again.
It's not late, Sam. You just get so many emails.
I think he may have been off the board.
Yeah, he was the first pick in the second round.
507. Here's where I'm going to, my little love fest with the draft and everything. Fred, you're going to yell at me now, but, come on. We had teams that we were all sitting here saying we're definitely going to be interested in running backs, right? Carolina, Indianapolis.
Right.
There was teams that we knew were going to take running backs. I don't think it was any surprise that running backs started going off the board once the teams that needed running backs started selecting. I don't think there was any foresight on anybody's part.
Right.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think that had anything to do with Belichick's reasoning?
I always think Bill knows more than others.
That's not what I asked you. I asked you if you thought it had anything to do with why they would make a pick.
Everything has to do with Bill's reasoning.
So you think that would be a good reason to make a pick because you think someone else behind you is going to pick that guy?
So ridiculous.
No, if you want it,
take
him.
Thank you. Thank you for answering. No further questions. So I'm done with you.
Kevin in Arizona.
I got no more use for you.
Kevin in Arizona. Great value with the move up for Jackson with his speed and productivity. He could fill the need of the deep threat and number two receiver. Is Schlegel possibly going to be there in the third round?
Oh, he'll be there in the third
round.
He'll probably be there in the fifth. If he's a good fit here.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, who goes first, Lendale White or Darnell Bing?
Oh, Lendale White.
Well, we're getting into Darnell Bing territory.
Well, where's your Bodhi? Where's your boy, your Bodhi?
Whoa, you become my boy. If you want to call Bing my boy,
by the way,
Bing has some skill. I don't know, your Bodhi, no.
Mel Kiper has Lendale White and Richard Marshall 1, I think, Lendale White 2, and your Bodhi 3 of his.
But
Sonoris Moss was 2, and Lendale White and...
I love all these mock drafts that felt like they needed to put Ashton Yabody in there just because they had to. I love it. I love these mock drafts because they're never even close, including ours.
Hey, that's okay.
Okay. Why did you guys like Chad Jackson so much?
Because I don't know what there is not to like about him. He was productive. He has good size, great speed, and great hands.
You know what I liked about him above all of that? The ability to make catches over the middle and in traffic. One of those speed guys that's soft.
Oh, no.
Right.
No
ability to get in traffic and make catches.
And
what
I like about him? In a weak receiver's draft, you didn't have to spend a first-round draft pick on him. You moved up, and you got arguably between him and Holmes, the best receiver in this draft class, and you already picked before that.
Right.
So it's a great value pick, even if he's a bust. I agree with the move, no matter what happens with Chad Jackson.
Okay. Let's see.
Before you read the next one, to talk about value, and it doesn't matter. Like Tom just talked about how these mock drafts don't mean a thing, but there was a rumor early last week the Patriots were interested in moving up to Baltimore spot, I believe, at 13. And the possible target that was rumored was Chad Jackson.
Yeah. And they got him at
36. So that's another reason why I like the pick.
Let's see. Jay writes in about the coverage. NFL Network all the way. ESPN is just a bunch of talking heads. ESPN took 10 minutes before they let you know Denver traded to move up. Also, why the hell is Michael Irvin still on the air? Couldn't someone slip a crack pipe into his luggage?
Hey, take it easy. Watch yourself now.
Andy likes those kind of emails.
I like the email. I just think that I'm watching both of these, and I'm seeing the same stuff on both of them simultaneously.
I do think the NFL Network shows more about the players, though, it seems. Like, they show a lot more about, like, they've been talking about Jimmy Williams
for a
while.
Now, for the last couple hours, we haven't heard the audio. I could definitely make an argument that maybe the people that are speaking on the NFL Network are saying more intelligent things.
Right.
Analyzing to a higher degree than the guys on ESPN.
Right.
But as far as the interviews and the packages that are playing when picks are being made and trades are being made, they're happening on both of the stations.
All right. Just want to remind all our listeners that as we speak, the Patriots Pro Shop is having a big, huge spring clearance sale. Huge savings on
product.
Wow, look
at the lines.
Yeah, through the online Pro Shop. It's virtual.
Oh, whoa.
Big savings.
Are there virtual
online
lines?
50, 60, 70% off on some items. I'm
whoa,
serious.
What can you get for 70% off?
Stuff. So go there right now. Also,
I'm trying to play along. This is how these promos are done.
At the physical pro shop, did you know that if you take any football jersey you have,
for example, John Elway,
you can go to the Patriots Pro Shop, trade it in, and get 20% off a new jersey.
And then that jersey goes to charity through Goodwill Industries.
That's right, and they give the old jersey to charity. So that's a program that's going on for the month of May at the Pro Shop here at Gillette Stadium. You can't trade in your guns, Paul.
Okay.
Just your jerseys.
Okay.
Nice.
But they are.
Needles?
So that's going on in May, plus the sprint clearance sale.
Too easy.
I just wanted to make sure that all our listeners knew that before we went off the air tonight. But tomorrow, we'll be back at noontime to pick up where we left off. Patriots have, one more pick now?
One more pick today.
One more pick
now.
In the third round.
So they wouldn't rule out another
trade.
And they
can't trade that one, so they have to keep it.
What?
It's not a compensatory pick.
No, it's not.
Six-round picks.
The six ones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Six-round picks are the only compensatory.
Oh, I thought the third one. So they can trade that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have no doubt that there'll be another trade.
Yeah.
Just don't know when it'll be.
Hey, you have moles?
No. I just don't know when it'll be.
Well, we're not going off the air, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, no, I need more time, baby. Come on. I ain't done talking.
Let me tell you something about the Duke backcourt.
You're going to have to put it in the blog.
Get back to blogging.
I just want to remind everyone that Paul, Andy, and Tom, well, mostly Tom, are blogging.
I want you to read these.
All right,
the posts.
I'll read them. I'll
I don't want you to read them. I just want you to count how many posts everybody
did. See how Paul is? He's an I.
We're blogging all night. We'll be back on the 12th.
So,
We've got Belichick's live press conference. We can go back. We've got audio press conferences. A lot of stuff going on Patriots.com to keep you busy tonight. And then we'll see you tomorrow again at noon. Thanks for listening.